It's the Don and Mike Show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
My pleasure on a beautiful Easter Monday to welcome you to Christ our Savior, Philip J. Hochberg.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Rob Spiewak. Take it away, Rob.
Rob Spiewak.
You know, you make your jokes, but Phil's very excited today.
Why?
Because tonight he plays Shemp on that movie on ABC. Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Skin and all the ships at sea. Hey, they love the lock crunches and swap gravy.
Yeah.
Just not with each other. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Well, thank you, Rob. And hello, everybody.
Hello.
It's Monday.
Monday.
Monday, April 24. Telephone number, same as it was last week, 1-877-365-3636.
Nice to be back here, actually.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I know.
You know, this is the first time I said that. I've actually...
As much as we hate this gulag,
right.
It's nice to be back broadcasting from Hitler's bunker.
Feels right.
Yeah. Well, you know, a couple of days out of town up in New York.
Right. You miss home a little bit.
Sure. But frankly, as fond as we are of Buzz, you know, a lot of times it's good that there's a wall separating us.
Absolutely. Well, you know, as anybody that listens to the shows up there, they know that pretty much by the end of the show, Buzz and I are almost coming to blows.
Absolutely.
There you go.
In more ways than one.
Absolutely.
Well, listen, we're back here. Today the show is coming to you from JFK in Washington, D.C. And we had planned on being back in New York, I think, tomorrow and Wednesday.
Right.
But as it turns out, I decided we're not going back until they fix it. And by fix it, I mean fix the retarded telephone situation.
Sure.
That it's the easiest thing in the world to do, to reroute a telephone. You know, like when you're when you leave your house and you forward your calls,
sure,
to go to wherever you're going.
Right.
That virtually, in a nutshell, mm-hmm, to make it as simple as possible, is what we need this station to do. We need them to take our telephones,
right,
and shift them to New York.
Uh-huh. It's very easy.
Because last week, I mean, you have no idea how freaking frustrating it is to be taking telephone calls and have to say to Big Dumb Jim, go to line 3, hang up on that guy, go to line 5, hang up on that guy.
And I think it kind of came to a head on Friday's show because, you know, we've had some wonderful shows in New York City, but that is the missing element. That is the one thing we need to have the perfect shows up there. And without that, you know, as much as I just love Big Gum Jim, we're relying on him to go,
You know, let's be honest, a lot of the magic of the show is the fact that it's spontaneous and that we do take on-screen calls. And I'll just plop down on a line and see whatever someone's got to say to me. Well, when we were in New York, I couldn't even answer the telephones.
Yeah, and
myself.
That this show just can't work that way. Right. And you know, we kind of did it with smoke and mirrors. And I'm glad that Mr. Stevens has responded favorably to your request to get their act together.
Yes, to route the phones up there. So I guess, you know, we're here all week, and as soon as it takes them to get it fixed, then we'll be going back up
good
to New York. And we'd had some good guests and junk planned from New York this week, but, you know,
screw it.
We've got to make sure the show sounds the same.
Hear, hear.
Right. Got to take those phone calls. Those phone calls that drive us freaking crazy.
Yeah, and I'd sure like them to, you know, I don't know. Yeah, the way it sounds in our headphones right now, the way it sounds just nice and crystal clear and everybody sounds equalized and all that, I'd sure like it to sound like that in my headphones up there, too. But
yeah,
I don't know if that's ever
going
to happen.
It sounds the same on the radio.
Yeah,
right.
It does. That's right.
The thing that I've heard from everybody is that
it sounds exactly
the same on the radio. So, I'm fine with the behind-the-scenes crap, with it sounding weird and the microphone sounding weird. But just, you know, give us control of the telephones. Because when the telephones are in the hands of Big Gum Jim, who, sad to say, is the most capable person here to answer the telephone. That's a sad, sad statement.
It certainly is.
Well, Randy Moss.
Hello.
Don, somebody's on line 3. Line 2. Line 2. I don't know how to conference the lines together. Randy Moss.
Thank you, fellas.
Thank you, fellas.
No, thank you.
Well, there we go.
And you talked about my mother. I told my mother you talked about her.
Well, that's what he said to me today.
What he said.
Popped his head in today.
Hi. How you doing?
How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Hey!
So
listen, we had a bit of a fuster clunk getting out of New York on Friday night.
Ooh.
Because they had rain for whatever reason. They closed down the airport.
Yeah, you guys did. Yeah, you guys had a terrible time getting out of New York.
Yeah, I know Choo Choo Charlie.
Yeah, I didn't. You know, my plans went according to, you know, I traveled without without missing a beat. It was the train was on time. It got me to work by 9.
Well, we had to spend an extra night in New York, right. So it was Buzz and Rob and me.
Right.
Since Charlie, I will do nothing that everybody else does. Broyhill,
he's a trailblazer,
decided that he would take the train back
right.
to D.C.
He got the 7:40 out
on Friday night. And he was brave enough to take the subway.
Ah, yes, yeah.
To get to the train station.
No, he went with me to the train station in the back of the car.
Ah, see, he told us that he was taking the subway.
Where'd you go? I'm trying to remember.
He wasn't in the car with us, was he?
Oh, well, ladies and gentlemen, here is Charlie Broyhill.
Carlos Broyhill.
Well, right.
You weren't in the car with us on Friday.
No, I was going to take the subway because I didn't think I could get everything wrapped up in time to take the car. But I did, and I rode with Mike to the train station.
Oh.
We held hands, and Charlie got an early train out, actually earlier than he expected.
Yeah.
And so he was out of there, and I just dodged the strange people. They were kind of, including the one guy who was going,
Well, not us. We spent an extra night in town.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to say something for the record. That when we got together for dinner on Friday night, it was Rob and Buzz and myself.
Yes.
I said to them, where do you want to go to dinner?
Mm-hmm.
I did not throw out the name of a restaurant.
Sure.
I didn't say, let's go to that one restaurant that I enjoy going to. I was wide open.
Right.
Yet, we ended up
at the Palm?
At the Palm restaurant.
Well, let me just say, when you say that, and with absolutely no offense to you, Buzz, or you, Rob, you're dining with the two greatest suckasses on the show.
Well,
so, I mean, they're going to go where you want to go.
But I was open to go anywhere.
Of course you were.
I really was.
You may have said that, but they are going to think in terms of where you want to go.
Well,
and that's why you act like it's some miracle.
I thought
that
it
you
was.
Ended up at the Palm. They're not going to say, do you think either Buzz or Rob would have said, I know this very obscure little French restaurant outside of Greenwich Village.
No, I don't think that Buzz would.
No.
But I do think that Rob would have.
I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, Rob can answer that for himself.
Robbie?
I'm not sure. Rob actually
said. Of course,
Rob is, you know, I know that Rob is a cosmopolitan fellow who likes to go all over the town and have very nice dinners.
Robbie?
Well, I was in a mood for a steak, and
right.
I actually asked Richard what was good, and he said, mentioned a couple steak places.
Right.
And he said, and there's, you know, the two other Palms you hadn't been to.
So we went to a different restaurant.
So yeah,
we went to a different Palm.
We went to a different Palm restaurant.
We went to Palm One.
That's great.
And you would like it because the first face you see when you come in is that of Jackie Gleason.
Oh, really?
It was very cool.
Well, yeah. I mean, you can't argue with that. It's good stuff. But, you know, and for Rob and for Buzz, I guess, it was a new experience for them.
Yes.
How did you find the experience?
Loved it.
Loved it.
Shrimp cocktails, Caesar salad, porterhouse, string beans.
My God, your body will never reject that.
Same time, mm-hmm. every time.
That's well. You had a festive evening, in an extra festive evening in New York City.
Yeah, we did. And then, you know, a real, 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 real gigantic cluster clock getting out of there on Saturday morning because the airport was so jammed.
Yeah, they were, you know, that was all over the news about how incredibly difficult it was all weekend traveling on the East Coast. True.
And then came back just in time to have a nice Saturday afternoon fight with my wife.
That's always nice in the middle of the weekend.
Well, because, you know, she wanted to go out and do something.
Right.
On Saturday night, and then, frankly, I refused.
Oh, God.
You know, she wanted to go out, and I said, well, I'm just back from going out. I want to stay at home. And she said, well, I've been staying at home for the last 3 days.
So that was not met with a favorable response.
No, but you know what? I'll say this. After 18 years, we worked through it.
Right.
We compromised.
Mm-hmm.
We did what I wanted to do.
She, all right.
She ended up going to the Sandra Bullock movie by herself.
Where did you go, to the Palm?
You know, she says this to me sometimes. She'll say, she tries to do the guilt thing with me.
Mm-hmm.
She'll say, that's all right. I'll just go to the movies by myself. I'm used to doing things by myself. And I say, you know what? That's what I love about you. You're independent.
So you're working her a little bit when you're doing that.
Yeah, well, she's working me.
So you didn't go to the movies then?
No, I didn't go to the movies. I absolutely didn't. Who wants to see Sandra Bullock in 28 days?
Okay, I agree with you there.
You couldn't, on a good day, you couldn't get me to go to that movie. And Saturday was just a bad, tired day. I was able to tap that thing, though.
Ah, very good.
Yes. Twice.
That is fantastic.
Tapped her twice.
That is very good.
Tap that thing.
Tap it good.
On Saturday. Twice, yeah. Got done and I said, where are you going? She said, well, what do you mean? I said, well, I'm ready for round two.
Wow. You mean immediately after round one?
Yeah, pretty quickly after round
one. You 18-year-old.
Yeah. That's
incredible.
A lot of pent-up energy.
That's true.
Lots of pent-up energy.
Mm-hmm.
And as a matter of fact, on Sunday morning then, when we got up and we were dying the Easter eggs,
mm-hmm.
You know, every year the... Is it Paz? Is that the name
yes.
of the company? Paz?
Mm-hmm. Paz?
P-A-A-S.
The ones that make the dye?
That's
right.
Correct.
Right.
Every year they come out with something new, some new innovation. And this year the innovation was a crayon that you can write on the egg with, and then you dip the egg into the dye.
Oh, you mean the wax crayon?
Yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. yeah. That's not new. That's actually, they've had that out for a while.
Yeah.
Where you like can do a little, like, Happy Easter on there or put somebody's name or a
yeah.
letter or something
yeah,
like
right.
that.
Yeah, right. Well, I had not seen that before.
Right. So, it just, you know, blocks out the dye from getting into the egg.
Right. So we had quite a few festive off-color eggs in our house.
Oh.
And because... Bart, for whatever reason, you would think he would be happy that after 18 years, his parents still enjoy each other's company.
Mm-hmm.
He gets grossed out to hear about us, you
getting
know,
lovey-dovey,
fulfilling our marital vows.
Right.
So I took an egg and I wrote on it, Mom and I had sex twice yesterday.
Oh, God!
And put it in the dye, and then I said, now I put a special message on this one. It's just for you, Barty. Just for you, and it comes out. And he was waiting to see what it was.
Sure.
And he pulled it out and screamed in horror.
Of course, perfectly normal reaction.
Just screamed in horror, and then he wrote, what did he write on his... My parents hate me. Oh, that was the next one that he wrote. So, you know, any psychologist that goes into our trash and finds the little pieces of the egg.
Yeah, you ought to put those eggs in the blender before you throw them away.
You get some glue and you paste those things together. You know, what the hell's wrong with this family?
That but is too good.
It was a good Easter. He was upset that he didn't get an Easter basket.
Oh,
well, he's 15.
Yeah. Do you still, what's the cutoff age for Easter baskets?
I believe now it's 15 since we didn't get him one this
Fair
year.
Fair enough. Sounds like it's right at that, I don't know, I'm trying to think. I'm trying to remember back to when I was that age. I think 15 was definitely,
yeah.
I think 15 is an age where if you don't get one, you're probably a little bit bummed. But you also think, you know, if you get one, you're not getting it to show everybody you've gotten it. You're getting it to get all the candy out of it and then just empty it out.
Right.
And, you know,
and
that's
frankly,
the main reason.
I think that the deal his friends have that he thought he was going to be getting was not that he would get an Easter basket with candy and stuff.
Right.
Because he's really kind of past like the big chocolate Easter bunny.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, I don't know where this started, that... Easter, for some kids, is like Christmas part two.
Really?
Where they come down on Easter morning and the basket's there and, like, they have CDs and junk like that.
Wow. Never was for me.
Well, no. I've never heard of that either. Not a chance that's happening for you.
I mean, Christmas, between Christmas and birthdays, you know.
Right.
And then just, you know, paying for the normal upkeep.
Right. Right.
Wow.
And then we had what ended up being a fantastic Easter Sunday. We went to my sister-in-law's house, Robbie. And her husband, Bill, you know,
right.
they have the two twin boys,
mm-hmm.
Damien.
Kids are great.
And the other larger kid. Yeah, they are fantastic.
Funny, they really are.
And it was yesterday what I was dreading at first, you know, any big family event,
mm-hmm.
especially when it's not at my house, when I can't run and hide when I've had enough of people.
Right.
So I was kind of dreading this yesterday, but we went over there, and I will give my brother-in-law, Bill, all the credit in the world.
I think I know what's coming.
You know, I don't think you know the second part.
Okay.
He had the two ingredients that were necessary for a fantastic Easter.
Okay, martinis?
First, nice big martini.
Yeah, I knew that. It's just, you know, your face betrays that because you kind of light up whenever that subject is around.
But you know what goes great with martini?
What's that?
A go-kart.
Oh, God.
He has a go-kart for his kids.
I didn't see that one coming,
and,
that's for sure.
And we had a drink before dinner, and then...
A couple martinis and into the go-kart.
We had a drink after dinner, and after we had the wonderful ham and all the trimmings and the stuff, and
right.
they had a piece of cake, he said... Well, how'd you like to go in the go-kart? There was no thought of the kids. I mean,
right.
he's got three kids, and we've got one, and
sure.
there was an extra one over there. But no, it was just Bill and I took this thing out in the backyard. Their house backs up to an elementary school.
Right.
And he fired that baby up, and for the better part of the afternoon, we just took turns driving the go-kart.
Oh, cool. So you have a lot of open space to tool around in the go-kart.
Yeah, nice big parking lot.
Yeah, that's a good Easter. That's terrific.
That was the perfect Easter.
Yeah.
If every major holiday could include a martini and
go-kart.
A go-kart. I'm telling you, I'm there.
That's great.
I'm absolutely there.
Go-karts. I can see you after a couple of martinis.
Yeah.
Oh, you should. Did you bring it up on two wheels a couple of times?
You should have seen me climbing into this thing. You know, first of all, it's a go-kart that's made for little kids.
Sure.
It's not made for big adult men.
Right.
And,
right.
I was a little apprehensive about getting into it, so my brother-in-law said, no, I ride it all the time. Watch. And he got in, and I saw him just take off like a shot.
Powerful engine on the thing.
Well, relatively powerful. I think maybe 8 horsepower.
Yeah, a little Briggs & Stratton action.
Yeah, right. It's definitely bigger than a lawnmower engine.
Right, very good.
And you tap on that baby and and off you go. And I was all the way down through the residential area and stuff.
Oh, mommy, daddy, who's that man that went by? He had a martini glass in his hand. One hand on the wheel.
Driving around. They had a very tight turning radius also.
Yeah, yeah, which you probably found out the hard way, didn't you? When you turned it just a little bit, it almost did a complete donut.
Yes.
I love go-karts.
But it was great. I mean, it was just fantastic.
That's cool.
And you know, to their credit, it was just enough day.
Good.
I mean, we'd been over there pretty much all day, and as soon as we were done with the go-kart and stuff, came inside, had coffee, and it was like an unspoken, now's the time to leave.
That's good.
To stay any longer past this would probably ruin whatever good feelings both families had going into this.
I am all for a national standard for that. I'm all for an actual time that is universally accepted. You know, we have daylight savings time. It should be the same thing. Holiday linger time. You should actually have a set aside, if you were to pick that, a set aside amount of time for a family gathering. I would
4 hours tops.
And I think you're being extraordinarily generous.
Yes. 4 tops.
I was going to say 3 to 4. You know, between 3 and 4 hours is perfect.
And that's exactly how it worked out for us. It was about 3.5 hours. Mm-hmm. And as we sat at the table, as we realized that none of us really had anything left to say.
Right.
We just got up and left, and it was just great.
Beautiful. 4 hours is absolutely perfect.
I heard plenty more about that bachelorette party, incidentally, that I didn't hear from Frida when we were talking on the radio.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like about all the men and all the different ethnicities of the men that hit on her the night that she was at that bachelorette party.
Some Latin lovers, perhaps.
Yes, yes. Some brown sugar also.
Ooh, there you go.
Yeah, lots of stuff with her. She was way more open talking about that bachelorette party.
Yes.
In the confines of her sister's kitchen than she was here in this fine forum.
That's interesting that she opened up about that. Yes. Does she have any martinis too?
No, she didn't.
Oh, good.
She did not.
Good.
She got pissed as soon as we walked in the door. I saw she got so mad at my brother-in-law because, I mean, we walked in the door, and he said, hey, come here, I want to show you something.
That's great if you got family like that.
Now, they are redecorating their house and stuff.
Right.
And I know that that's what Frida thought Bill, my brother-in-law, was going to show me, like,
right,
where they're tearing out a wall and putting up wallpaper and everything. He said, no, come here, I want to show you something. He stays right to the kitchen, opens up the refrigerator, and he goes, look, there it is, in the freezer. What do you say? Are you up for martinis on Easter? And I said, oh, you bet. And meanwhile, Frida, with her sister Robin, they were walking around really looking at like wallpaper and stuff in the house. And she came into the kitchen, and there's Bill and I just sitting there with two big martini glasses. She said, what are you doing? I said, he asked.
That's cool.
I said, he asked. I didn't bring it up. He asked.
Are we in agreement that if you have a good relationship, I'm lucky enough to have two good ones. If you have a good brother-in-law relationship, that can get through all the family crap.
Yes,
you can survive all the family stuff if you get along. And I am really lucky that I've got two great brothers-in-law, and many times they come to the rescue. And it's a, you know, it's always reciprocal. You help them out, they help you out. Right. It is fantastic.
I've got two. I've got one, Bill, who I get along with great.
Right.
And the other one who tolerates me.
You see, but if you've got one good one, that's all you need. I mean, one good brother-in-law, I think, you can deal with all sorts of family problems if you have a good relationship with your brother-in-law.
Very true. Oh, he's good, and it was a great time, and we thanked him. Well, then, fine.
Well, then, fine.
Well, then, very good. And how is 80-year-old Mary?
Oh, we had a great shindig for her 80th birthday, and she did not have a clue, because it all hinged on her best friend, Jackie, who was not telling her anything. You knocked that off, Rob.
Ooh, Jackie.
Talking about my 80-year-old mother here.
Oh, he's talking about Jackie, not about your mom.
You've never even seen Jackie. Now, stop. Yes, you have. You know, it was one of those deals where I didn't talk about this on the radio because I didn't want to give it away. I'd actually spent since last July I interviewed my mom for 4 hours, and I put together a videotape of a family history where she just talked about her life and everything, and I did it with all the family
photographs. Well, you started it last July, and you didn't really start working on it again until about 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, you know, now, come on. I didn't tell the family that. Boy, I'm so glad you weren't there, because you would have said that, and my whole thing would have been blown, you know, and stuff like that. We did. He knows that, you know, that the intensity of it really was like a month where we were editing the thing, and I worked with this guy, Rich Winkler, who did a great job. But I'll tell you right now, this thing was, I felt like I was going to a movie premiere, because I had the whole family there, all 20 of them, and they were all sitting there, and I'm ready to watch this this videotape, and my kids were down there, and Elizabeth had these hard, like, girly shoes, you know, for Easter on,
right.
And she is, I mean, she, you know, it's an old New England colonial house down at my my brother-in-law's sister's house, and she's just clapping on the floor the whole time. It's like it's thundering down there, and Laura had the job of watching the kids while this is going on, and she wanted to see the reaction that my mom had, because she's been doing this this tape with me and putting the photographs together, and so it went off without a hitch. But I was as uptight about this as I've ever been about anything in my life. This is the biggest thing I've ever done at any birthday for any family member.
Well, it's your directorial debut.
It was. Yes. It really was. It was like a movie premiere, and I'm sitting down there, all right, everybody, and then I got up, and I'm in front of my family, and I get up to introduce this tape, and I get the total cranial cramp. I swear to God.
I want to welcome you all to this screening.
Yeah, I was really going to get up there and say, you know what I was going to say? I was going to say, because now I can do it. Now
did
that
you
I'm
have
in front
a beret?
Of, now that I'm in front of 6 million of my closest friends here, I can do this, but I couldn't do this in front of my own family. I was going to get up and I was going to say, it's very difficult to take 80 years and condense it down to 25 minutes, but we had a four-hour interview up in Maine, and we narrowed it down to an hour and then cut it down. I was going to give this whole spiel. You know what I did?
What?
I got up there and I said, I've got a tape that like to show a family now, please sit, watch. I swear to God, I sounded like an actor, and I was nervous. My voice was shaking. I was up there going, so, and what it was just the emotion of the thing was so, it was so important to me that I just wanted to play the tape, and I played it, and my mom's reaction was controlled, because she's around everybody, and I realized that one of the things she was doing, every time she'd talk about somebody, she was trying to think if she'd given anybody a zinger on the tape. So she was a little uptight, and then I played it for her again before I left, and that's when, you know,
well, that was the reaction you wanted.
Well,
right?
Everybody loved it. Everybody loved the tape, and it was wonderful. And during the presentation, I decided to relax, because the time was past. I'd done my job, and now Daddy can play a little bit.
Yeah.
So I played a little bit, and then we went down to the restaurant, and we had a very nice dinner for her, except for the fact that the restaurant we were eating at didn't have four entrees out of a menu of seven items. I think one, you're hit with a crush, so everybody wants the same thing, you're okay. Two, maybe you're slammed beyond. Three, it's ridiculous if you don't have four. I was sitting there getting a little bit steamed, and I didn't want to ruin the evening, but I sure did want to ruin the evening, because this guy, I talked to this manager, I said, what's the deal? You only have like three entrees left. And the guy said to me something. The manager comes up, and the manager looks like one of the singers from NSYNC. He's got a golf shirt on that's open at the neck, and he has the little
hey, dude,
little chin music on. So, I mean, I'm looking at him, and he comes over, and he gives me one of these backhands on the shoulder. Like this, he goes, sir, you wanted to see me? I'm like, yeah. And then I'm looking at this guy. You know when you don't like somebody to start with?
Immediately,
So immediately, it's just this back and forth contest we're having. And he says to me, tomorrow's Easter, sir. You know, we serve fresh food. That's why we have a 3-star rating here. And I'm like, okay, Mr. Insig, Mr. Slick Back Hair, Mr. Open Golf Shirt, Mr. I'm going to pull your esophagus out. But I kept it in check. Even though I had the stress of this tape that I'd shown my family, even though I'd had a little happy juice
really
between
okay.
there, I really kept it in check, because I really could have brought the whole evening down. But I went around the corner with the guy, and we basically came to an impasse. And at that moment, after, it was the kind of discussion where he said, why don't you see me after the meal, and we'll discuss anything we can do to make this situation right. I'm like, hey, fine. I said, I don't want you to do anything. I just want to tell you that's not good when we're having a party of 20 people here. So I go back, and at that moment when I'm sitting down, I have that feeling of, okay, I'm going to get the food with the Visine in it. I'm going to definitely get the food with the Visine in it. And when they were serving the plates,
maybe some jizz.
Something. You know, like he's in the back going, yeah, this big.
big Luger on your steak.
And you know, I was so paranoid that I thought when they were serving, at one point the waitress came over and she said, "Okay, you no, you have this one." She did a little move like that.
It was the special one.
Yeah, like it was the special, you know. It was the special one that they gave us. But it was great. I had a wonderful weekend. Then we took a flight out. We had everybody over for Easter in the morning. And then we got on a plane at 3 o'clock. We landed at 4:30, and then we went to my sister-in-law's house at 5:30.
Bonus.
For another Easter dinner. I want to thank my sister-in-law for actually serving the kind of chow that was totally different than the other Easter dinner we'd had. She actually had a turkey, which is not the traditional Easter fare, but it was perfect. But by 8 o'clock in the evening, I'd had too much day.
Too much day, too much weekend day.
Quite about with diarrhea, too, right up until before show. Just too much weekend in general. But my mom looks great. She's 80 years old.
She sure does, Mike.
I do believe that the reason she is looking as good as she looks is because the show has never been heard in that market.
we're
close, but I don't want to say this. It's very bad, but I mean, as soon as we get on in that market, I think she's it's just going to be like the candle going out real quick. I really do. She looks fantastic.
Yeah, that's nice.
That's
as soon
nice.
As we sign on in Hartford, your mom's going to kick.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go home. I'm gonna take a special flight home and disconnect every radio. Just turn it all off. You know, we're getting real close to that market, too, up in Hartford. And,
I know we are.
And I'm just, I was just glad I was able to do this. It's nice to be able to do this for somebody that when they can appreciate it and when they can see what's going on. And she does not look 80. You know, you've met her. She doesn't look her age.
Sure doesn't, Mike.
There you go.
Sure
I told my sister about you, too. I told my sister, driving back from the train station up in on Friday night when I got into Connecticut. And I told her that I wished my mom happy birthday. And Kathy, I believe Kathy is pleased at that. She seems to always react the same way, which
right.
is just kind of a, oh, stop it.
Because she knows
but
deep
quietly
down
that she feels the same way about you.
Well, because she's your sister. She knows I would kill you if, like, you were found out I was boning her.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like a candle going
out. So you think on that level, that's the level that
yeah.
she enjoys?
Yeah, I don't think that she is in the least interested in me, but the
right.
thought
right.
that I would like to bone your sister.
It would kill me.
It would kill you.
I'd like to go, and I'm going to say it again, I'd like to go on record by saying it would kill you if that was happening. But
well, not if you didn't catch us.
If I didn't catch you. You'd tell me like when we were 70 years old. By the way, let me tell you about something.
You know me. It'd probably be some night we are out partying. Some night when I was into my, like, I love you, man. But I go, listen, Mike, I got to tell you something, man. It's killing me.
Just don't tell me about the child. Don't tell me about the love child, and I'll be perfectly happy. But
I shan't.
Everybody was very happy. I want to say happy birthday to my mom again. She was she did not expect the big party, and she deserved it, and we had a great time.
And, of course, I'm sick about Elyon. I mean, I'm sick of the whole friggin' story,
sure.
but we'll talk about that today.
I think you share that with most people, at least the people I talk to on the weekend. Everybody seems to be fed up with that.
Oh, you know what? I got a couple other things I want to tell you. First, something about my wife that she said to me today, and I purposely didn't ask her about it because I want to get her on the air today. She told me that she had a dream last night,
mm-hmm.
and in the dream she had two orgasms.
Okay.
But I don't think she meant in the dream she had two orgasms. I think she meant that she
had like a nocturnal emission?
Yeah, had real orgasms while she was sleeping.
And then, like
she
a wet dream.
She woke up and...
Can we say wet dream on the radio?
Of course we can.
Yeah, sure.
And she woke up and... You know, I mean,
that's a hell of a dream.
Right. And, I mean, I purposely didn't ask.
Well, she
know.
Maybe had that in the dream and also in real
right.
life.
I don't know. And I'm guessing since she didn't offer the information that...
She didn't give any content?
Whoever supplied this was not me, you know. So that's just something to think about.
She when did know. She bring that up?
Today. Today we're having lunch.
Wow.
She just said, hey, you know... Boy, I slept good last night. I said, yeah, I did too. It really feels good to be back. And she says, yeah, God, I was so tired. I had a real sex dream last night, and I had two orgasms. I mean, I had two orgasms.
And you
orgasms.
Never followed up on that?
No. No.
That's good.
Wow. No, because I wanted to follow up here.
that's why you are a professional.
In this forum. And then I'm pissed, and I have to I'm embarrassed to tell everybody this, that the new issue of Maxim magazine is out, and
yes.
we're not in it.
Why not?
Well, the reason that we're not in it is my friend who worked for Maxim and Movie Line,
yeah.
he got canned.
Oh.
Rich McMillan got canned. And I got a call from him on my machine over the weekend where he said, hey, I'm real sorry about this. They didn't want to go with it. I didn't know how to tell you this. I don't work there anymore. Goodbye.
Wow. Thank you.
So, you know.
Sorry about that. Well, we're just going to have to find a magazine that will print this. I don't care if it's a low-level magazine. We have to find a magazine that will print our list and the pictures of the male models.
Well, it's embarrassing, you know, because we talked about it for goddamn 6 months, and we went to all the trouble of having the gay models come down and take their pictures with that without their shirts on.
Oh, and speaking of magazines, Linda, I want to thank you. Linda, if you're listening right now, Linda, thanks for sending the picture, the cutout from Washingtonian Magazine to my sister so she could tell everybody about me J-O-ing. Thank you, Linda.
Linda who? Is that a friend of yours?
I don't know what Linda's last name is, but I remember her from like when my sister lived here in the old days, and I remember that, and her friend Linda. She's got several friends that only send negative stuff about us.
Well, that's all that's ever written about us.
That's true, but we get occasionally nice things, but you know, they'll never like send any clippings about the good ratings. They'll never do that. It's always, and the way my sister understood it, there was a note, like a card about family information and stuff, and then this clipping just put in there without any word about it and any explanation about it. So,
hi, Linda. Thank you.
I just, it really made me mad. It really did.
Real pissed about that Maxim thing.
That sucks. That's too bad.
Not quite sure what to do about that situation, but I guess there is nothing we can do about it. I also wanted to mention, before we get this whole Elyon thing, I saw the absolute greatest infomercial over the weekend that I have ever seen. And it's not because the product is so great. It's because of the spokespeople for the product.
I can't wait.
It is a real estate guy. One of these guys who wants to sell you his tapes to tell you how to make millions of dollars on speculative real estate deals.
Very good.
But rather than have the guy do the commercial himself, he's hired twin midgets.
Oh, wow.
Now, has anybody seen this besides me?
No.
There are these two guys, and it's obvious they're not the real estate guys.
Sure.
He's just hired them because they're twin midgets. And he dresses them up in little suits, and they cut from the testimonials of the people saying, I went from picking my boogers and eating them to making $100,000 a year in real estate, thanks to Ron's real estate tapes. Then there's a cut, and you got these two guys going, it's really great. You can learn how to make real estate money in your own house.
Are they good-looking midgets? I mean, little
have
people,
you
dwarves?
Have you ever seen
midgets?
You ever seen a good-looking midget?
I'm trying to think.
Okay. No, they're odd-looking.
Is Rob writing down a good-looking midget?
No, he's just showing me a photo of Scott the dwarf.
Scott was one of the better-looking dwarves I've ever seen.
Sure. From Entertainment Weekly.
Not.
A couple of weeks ago. Scott actually had his picture in Entertainment Weekly when he was featured in the Discovery Channel show Dwarf Standing Tall.
Cool.
Wow. That is an actual picture of Scott the dwarf.
Hey, thanks for letting us know about that, Scott.
Right, well, no. You know, since last, because it was last St. Patrick's Day when we had him
abandoned us,
dressed up on the street. Mm-hmm. He's gone, well, he got pissed when we had the whole talk about midget villain stuff.
He did?
Yeah. Don't you remember he was upset with us then?
But I thought he came back after that. I thought he came back and talked. He's talked to us since then.
Has he talked to us since Midgetville?
Yeah, nice conversation not too long ago, as a matter of fact.
Well,
I like, you know, Scott the Dwarf is somebody I wish would just come around more
often.
He's
great. I told him I would book his dwarf band on the show anytime they want to come in and jam, but we never heard from him. But this commercial, with these two midgets, this is the funniest thing. Excuse
dwarfs.
Me, dwarfs. This is the funniest infomercial I've ever seen. And
oh, all right. Give me an idea of what the midgets look like. I mean, I'm sorry, the dwarfs. Kind of sorry. Hard habit to break.
They look like, okay, you know the guy in Norma Rae? The guy who was the union leader? What's that guy's name? He was married to TV's Alice for
a while. Yeah, okay, we'll say no more. I know who you're talking about. I know exactly who they look like.
Except they have more hair than he does.
Really?
And they have glasses. And they had them in matching suits. In matching three-piece suits. And it's obvious
they were even remotely attractive when we saw them, but they're ugly.
And it's obvious that whoever this real estate guy is, he said, you know what? We need something to sell this infomercial, you know? Get me twin midgets.
Dwarfs.
Yeah, excuse me. Is this a guy who knows about it? Hello, Dave? Dave, you're on the air. Dave.
Hey, Don, how much do you wish you were the guy in the picture Saturday morning in Little Havana?
Oh, the guy with the gun?
Yeah.
Why would I want to be that guy?
Well, I thought you wanted this thing over with, so...
Yeah, I did want it over with.
Ladies and gentlemen, a round of applause for our first totally stupid comment of the week.
You know, I did want it over with. I'm not thrilled with the fact that those guys went in with the guns like that.
But, you know, I really do. There were two pictures. You saw the picture of the guy with the gun taking him out of the closet.
And then the happy family picture.
The, you know, hours later, the reunion. But, you know, mm-hmm. in the reunion picture. Now, see, everybody pays attention to the picture with the gun and the look on the boy's face when he's with his father. No. Look at the stepmother in the picture where he's being reunited with his father, okay? Nobody looked at the stepmother. I'm looking at the stepmother, and she's looking at the boy like, well, here is the boy that has caused all the trouble.
You know, there are some people in the Cuban community who have said that picture is a fake.
Yes.
Because Elian's hair is longer in that picture than it was when they went to his house to take him out in the morning.
Yeah, they're also saying he was drugged.
That's been said also. Unbelievable.
I want to devote a whole segment to that, to how freaking sick of that I am. Okay?
Wasn't there video also now of the boy and his father? I mean, happily reunited?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. There have been more than one picture of the boy.
So a lot of pictures.
Yeah, I think that takes care of the fake picture.
True.
I'd just like to point out, again, though, for the record, that here in America, there are like 5 million, 1 billion, 1 zillion kids who are plenty more screwed up with more problems than Elian Gonzalez.
Yeah, and I think, frankly, that they did what they had to do. They got the kid back with his father, and I think this thing is going to go away quicker because of that than it would have if they had lingered.
Do you know why it's not going to go away? Because that goddamn fisherman. That's the guy who I'm the most sick.
He's the guy that had the gun on him.
Of that guy.
He's the guy that was hiding in the closet.
That's the guy who Saturday morning was monopolizing television, giving live interviews.
And they came in to take Elian. And I said, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? Why are you doing this to Elian? Why are you doing this? You know, please, shut the frig up. God, I hate that fisherman. I truly hate that fisherman.
This also gives them more ammunition against Janet Reno.
Wish a big-ass whale would just eat that guy.
As bad as the people down in Little Havana are screaming, they have a personal interest in this. I mean, they really do. But I'll tell you right now, the people that are trying to make political hay out of that move are the people that totally, I don't care what line of the, what line of politics you're on, but it's the people, I was watching the senators and the governors and all these guys going, the Clinton administration, screw that.
Listen, who gives a rat's ass?
Here.
I mean, really, who gives a rat's ass? Let the kid live here. Let him go back to Cuba with his
Aren't
dad.
The majority of Americans now, really, I mean, they've been polling Americans. Don't the majority of Americans now think the kid should be with his father and they're happy he's with his father? Yes. That's the way I feel about it.
But frankly, who cares?
That's right. They made it such a big deal that people are supposed to care.
Elian Gonzalez means nothing to me.
We've been manipulated again.
His father means nothing to me. That fisherman. Now, he's the one that's pissed me off. And do you know, I read in the newspaper today that there were more stories about Elian Gonzalez the last 5 months than there were about when Lady Di crashed her car and when JFK Jr. crashed his plane.
That doesn't surprise me.
There have been more stories about this little kid.
I think it's always directly proportional to what's in the news. And when there's nothing happening.
Jesus Christ.
You know, there's nothing happening. And so that's why this has monopolized the news.
Oh, please.
They're lazy. They're looking for something.
Here's somebody talking about the midgets. Hello, Johnny.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy.
I've seen that commercial you're talking about. It is the most insulting thing you've ever seen in your life. These two midgets and
dwarves.
Little people. Little people. But they're sitting there and they're going, yes, we made millions. Imagine, you can too.
Oh, I didn't get that. Are they? So they are supposedly success stories from this video, right?
Yes, that's the whole motivation of the deal.
I think I've read about those. They're like multi-billionaires.
Wow. Here's somebody else. Matt, you seen that commercial?
Yeah, Don and Mike, how's it going?
Hey, buddy.
Okay, this weekend was the biggest sport weekend ever. You got basketball, you got hockey, and we're flipping around watching this stupid infomercial. But these two men, they're standing in front of a Land Cruiser. When, hey, who wants to drive? Well, you drove last time. It's my turn.
I'm telling you, this infomercial,
I gotta see this.
It's like a half-hour sitcom. It's the funniest thing I've ever seen. I mean, if you could sit through the bad endorsements from the ugly people who supposedly have become millionaires after buying these tapes.
Good.
These two dudes.
Sounds great.
They are funny. Craig, you seen it, Craig?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I saw them on Maury Povich. There was some show about weird people that are successful or something. I don't remember the show, but I've seen them, and they didn't mention anything about the real estate person. I've seen the infomercial too, and I saw them before, and they're like millionaires or something, and they're twins. It was pretty funny.
All right, thank you.
Thanks so much. I thought it was a lovely story.
Really, not a lot of information.
Told it so well.
Don and Mike, hello.
Yeah, these guys, I know them from South Florida. They used to be local TV show celebrities. They used to work with advertisements in South Florida.
Are you getting a picture now, I mean, of the type of people that logged lots of time with these real estate infomercials?
Well, Mike, you're looking at him.
Well, I do it, too.
I mean, I logged 30 minutes with the show yesterday.
Yeah, I plead guilty, too. I just missed the channel.
It was on the Court TV channel yesterday. That's how I spent my Easter Sunday morning.
Court TV.
That's great.
Overwhelmingly successful. Court TV, you get the impression Court TV is just trying whatever they can throw and stick to the wall.
By a thread.
I was spending Easter morning watching an infomercial on Court TV. Oh, hold on. Listen, here is Scott.
Hello?
Scott the Dwarf.
There you go.
Scott.
Love us or hate us, the mere mention of dwarves makes your phones light up, doesn't it?
It does, Scott.
I told you.
You are right, Scotty.
Why are you such a stranger to this show, Scott?
I'm not. I'm working, man. I have a band. I'm in New York City. I'm in New Jersey now.
You're in New York? Do you get up
I'm
to
in
New
the
York?
Big time, baby.
If you get up to, you know, we're on in New York now, Scott, and we're going up there a couple of days.
I go there. I'm there every weekend.
Really?
Yep. I have a band. I mean, this is huge, man. I'm in a new band. It's all little people. But I'm in it. Yeah, little people.
Okay.
All right, little people. You've got to have your band perform on our show.
Yeah, you
got
to.
It's a new band. It's called The Little Kings. Go to thelittlekings.com.
Where do you play? Where do you play in New York City, Scott?
Little clubs.
Little clubs.
we play in little cardboard boxes. You know, the little dancing ants? The little musical ants.
Where do you guys play, really?
We play in Hillside, New Jersey, and in New York City. Just little bars and clubs here and there, up and down the... We have management. We have producers. We got a web page. It's huge, man. We have TV shows that are, like, begging to have us on.
Hey, Father Time, pull up that web page. Well, what's the site again?
What's it called again?
TheLittleKings.com with a Z at the end of Kings.
KINGZ.
Yep.
You are the constant operator. Show business is your life, Scott,
right.
Isn't it? Absolutely.
I am the Mac Daddy. Now wait until you see my name. My rock and roll stage name.
What is it?
It's Scotty F Word.
Scotty F U C.
No, just Scotty F Word. You can figure it out from there, right?
Scotty F Word?
Yep.
Or is it Scotty and actually you say the F Word?
No, it's Scotty F Word. It stands for Fig Newton.
Okay, this is the manager. Now, is this like an NSYNC manager that put you guys together?
If I say yes, then it would be kind of lame. So no, but all the band members, we all know each other. And
are you like a boy band?
Yeah, we're a boy band, but we love chicks.
Do you do a lot of choreography and stuff?
No.
Do you sing faggy?
The choreography I do is grab my balls every 5 minutes.
Do you sing faggy songs like NSYNC?
I sing hard rock and roll, and that's about it.
Hard rock and roll. Now, are you playing an instrument in the band?
No, I sing. I'm the lead singer.
You're the lead singer?
Yeah.
Milking his instrument.
I get naked, run across the stage, get crazy, and sing my ass off.
Hey, Father Time,
yes.
Did you find that website?
Sure did.
Ah.
Have it up right now. I see Scott and the rest of his band.
Yep.
The official homepage of the Little Kings, it says. And what's your number one? What's your... world beater song that you do. What do you close with?
A song called Bitter.
Bitter?
Bitter. Yeah.
That sounds like real hard.
Is that
rock.
An original song?
Yeah.
Is that because you're bitter that you're short?
I'm bitter at all tall people, you bastard.
Yes,
I hate you all.
I forgot he's got the argumentative angry
tall door. People suck.
Well, listen, Scott, for goodness sakes, when we are back up at NEW, we should be back up there next week.
All right, and I'm not going to, I'm not such a stranger. I've just been really busy and stuff and doing all sorts of
work. Oh, screw you, Scott.
Anyways, Mike, just because you said that I'm one of the better looking dwarfs, that's the only reason why I called.
Oh, there you go. Okay, yeah, because I know you're sensitive like that.
One of the handsome ones.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I always thought you were kind of dreamy, Scott. I really did.
I think you have a cute
when
ass
you,
yourself.
When you weren't working at the jewelry store with your dirty fingernails.
Hey, my nails are clean.
Are they clean now?
Yeah.
When you worked with us, you had the dirtiest hands.
Because he was making jewelry every day, and he'd come in from the jewelry job, and just, those nails needed tending to.
Hey, Scott, do you know who those dudes are in that real estate
commercial? Yeah, I do. The two twin little people, real estate people.
Yeah, who are they?
I don't remember their name, but they're actually they're real estate people. They've been in real estate for like 20 years, and they make a ton of dough.
Well, they cracked my ass up seeing them.
Yeah, they've been on a couple shows or whatever.
Do you do your cartwheels on stage when you're in your band?
I don't necessarily do cartwheels, but I jump off drum sets.
What's the song that you sing that you cover? I mean, besides your originals, what's a good rock and roll song that you sing?
Stone Temple Pilots, Sex Type Thing.
Are you still married?
Yes, I am. And I have a beautiful daughter.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. You got a beautiful daughter.
Yeah, 10 months old.
Oh, God bless you.
Yeah,
that's great.
She's a great. She keeps me humble.
Now, is there any idea if she's going to be big or little?
She is little.
She is a little person.
Yep.
Well, that's cool. And I think I spoke to you about that, and you said that's kind of cool with you.
It is real cool because if when she gets to be about 7 or 8, and I have to ground her, and she's taller than me, if she was average size, I don't think I can do such a good job.
All right, hey, hold on. I need to get your new phone number.
All right.
All right, hold on a second. That is Scott the angry, argumentative dwarf.
Yeah, he'd always be walking around here when he worked for us, flipping everybody off.
He just pissed at the world.
Absolutely.
Remember that day he got so drunk, though?
Yeah.
And he was puking.
Yeah. He was dressed up in a leprechaun outfit, and he was puking out on the sidewalk.
That was a great day.
It was indeed.
Don't tap me, touch tone. Right there, let's start this week with the Caller 100. Hey, last week to qualify now for the big free rent and mortgage show, the free money show, because it's Friday. This Friday. Call now. Be the 100th person to call Toya. She's standing by at 1-877-365-3636.
Rest easy and know that every broadcast brings you one day closer to the peaceful, tranquil, eternal sleep of the dead.
Right.
So enjoy the Don and Mike Show.
Please do call her 100 times. Here we go. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello?
Yes.
Hi, who's this?
Kevin.
Kevin, where are you from?
I'm from the land of Boardwalk Elvis.
You like Ocean City.
Well, nearby Salisbury.
Right. Listen, you want to go anywhere, Weber Gas Grill from Hardware.com.
Fantastic.
Hardware.com, your one-stop shop for your home improvement needs. But wait, there's more involved to qualify to have us pay your rent or your mortgage this Friday. That's the free money show. We're going to be paying lots of rents and mortgages on Friday all during the show. How much do you pay every month in rent or mortgage?
That's a $700 nut I have to crack every month.
$700 nut.
That's a big nut. We'd love to pay that for you. Thank you for listening. Hold on a second, please.
Thanks a lot.
Hold on. Yep. Friday, that's the big free money show. Throughout the show on Friday, if you want anything this month, you got to listen to the whole show Friday.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Because that's what we're paying rents and mortgages.
And can you use that gas grill in your car? Is that small enough to fit
the
other
use
in the car?
Portable.
Oh, okay. Not inside.
I think it takes like from one location to the next.
It just says go anywhere though, right? So I mean,
if you wanted to live dangerously,
you like in a van, maybe you could use it.
Yeah.
Or like a big SUV.
I gotta tell you something I did. Just made me think of this. Something I did so stupid. You did something very nice for me, and I think I may have already ruined it.
You didn't lose that.
No, I didn't lose it.
You didn't break it.
No, I didn't break it. Let me tell you what I did.
Did you give it away?
No, I treasure it.
All right.
Friday, when we were up in New York, mm-hmm. Mike had this lighter, this cool cigar lighter.
Right.
One of those kind of you can, like, it'll go off in a hurricane.
Yeah, you can light it, and when it's got the flame, you can blow it out, and then it lights again.
Cool.
It never goes out. If you've got the thing pressed down, it never goes out.
And it has a cigar cutter built into the bottom of it.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not doing the cigar thing anymore, so I actually, I'm doing the more fatal version of smoking. I'll have an occasional cigarette, but I don't need the big cigar lighter anymore.
Right. So Mike said, hey, have I ever shown you this? This was off the radio, and I said, wow, that's cool. And he said, my gift to you. Take it.
I mean, you were so into it that I figured, I thought it was, when I was smoking cigars, I think it's the coolest lighter I've ever had.
So, I used it on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
I got up and I used it on Sunday, and then the flame went out.
Okay.
So, I undid the bottom part of it.
Yeah.
And I went, and I, of course, didn't bother to do research to find out how to fill it.
Did it take the Calibri stuff?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
What's Calibri stuff? How long have you been smoking cigars? Just out of curiosity.
About 8 years.
You have to have filled up a lighter.
I use disposable lighters. I don't use those fancy kind.
Okay, so what I'm talking about is it's the black tube of stuff with the little red plastic nozzle, and you just, you turn.
You don't mean Zippo fuel, right?
No, Zippo is that what you put in it?
Yeah.
Oh, the liquid. Oh,
you probably.
Oh. I mean, did you totally tank it?
I don't know. I've got to find. I went on the internet and researched and found that it takes butane.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just I've got. That's amazing that you smoke cigars. You
I never knew.
See, a good cigar lighter will make it. You'll always light your cigar perfectly.
I use the throwaway Bic lighter.
Yeah,
so anyway,
don't do that. Besides, those heat up. By the time you light a big fat cigar, those usually become like almost white hot.
The whole time yesterday, I'm trying to figure this out before we went to my brother-in-law's
house. So you lifted up the bottom, and you've got that tiny little circle.
The little screw.
And what do you just, and did you pour light? Did it just spill all over everything?
Well, it's got like a little metal thing.
There it is.
This pointing out of it.
Right. That's what you need right here. You need that thing.
Oh, great. I'll take it home. Thank you.
Not much in it.
Werpo makes butane. Now, was this like lighter fluid?
Yeah.
Like a liquid?
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Like the kind you would put in, you know, one of your lighters,
yeah, like,
right?
So what I did was,
lighter.
I went into our junk drawer in the kitchen, and I said to Frida, hey, where's the lighter fluid? And she said, for what? And I said, for a lighter. And she said, it's right there in the junk drawer. So, you know me, bull in a china shop.
Right.
I took this nice lighter you gave me. I'm standing out on the back deck, and I'm just shoving this the Zippo lighter fluid into this thing, and meanwhile it's getting all over me, and it's,
because none of it's going into the lighter.
No, right. None of it's going.
It's probably not damaged. It's probably going to work fine.
I don't think so. It was all over.
But
the
it'll
place.
Probably once you do get it to light, it'll probably explode.
What, Robbie?
I think you'll be all right because it's just really, really refined, like almost more than gasoline.
It's kind of like jet fuel. What jet fuel is to gasoline, that's what butane is to regular lighter fluid.
So it will eventually evaporate and it should be fine. But because it's airtight, that's the way it's designed. It's probably just really clean.
So I was standing out on the back porch trying to fill this thing, and I would get it all over me. It'd be all over the lighter, and I would go click, click, click. I go, God damn it. You know, I already broke this great lighter Mike gave me. Then I looked on the side and saw the name of the manufacturer.
Right.
So then I went upstairs, and I got on the net, and I typed in www.nameofthemanufacturer. Well, here comes the web page.
Right.
They say, lighters, info. I click on lighters. I go to the next page, and they got all the info there. Filling lighter. I find the kind of lighter that you gave me.
Okay.
I click on that page, and then it says instructions for refilling lighter. I must be doing something wrong.
I
click on it. I print it out. I come back downstairs, not bothering to read the instructions.
So you're just going to take the instructions for putting butane in it, and you're going to use regular lighter fluid.
I tried it again, and it didn't work. And then, by now, I'm really frustrated, because I've gone through the same exercise again, because it shows how you turn the little screw, and you got the little thing that's sticking out, and you put this thing in there. Not lighter fluid,
right.
But you put this stuff in.
That's the product.
There's different stuff.
The gas.
So again, it doesn't work. And, you know, by now the deck's covered with his lighter fluid. I'm covered with it. I'm getting lightheaded. I smell like it. Frida can smell it all the way inside the kitchen.
Very dangerous.
So at this point, I think, you know what I'm going to do? I'm actually going to read these goddamn directions.
That's the first. There you go. You actually decide to read the instructions.
So now I'm reading. And it looks like I'm doing everything correct, you know. Mm-hmm. Undo the screw. Put the red thing on top of the copper thing.
Yeah, I can see because regular lighter fluid also has red plastic tip.
And then I get down to butane. And now I'm looking, now I'm really feel like an idiot.
Right.
Because I'm looking at this thing of Zippo lighter fluid, and I'm looking at the directions. And now I'm looking at the can of lighter fluid, trying to find the word butane anywhere on this can.
Which you will not.
And right. I can't. So what I do is, whenever I get in a jam, I go inside. And I say to Frida, I say, hey, honey, is there a difference between this lighter fluid and something called butane? And she looks at me and she goes, yes. I said, really? And she immediately said, why? Have you been trying to fill that lighter with regular lighter fluid? And I said, yeah. And she said, you're an idiot.
Oh, God. How long was the total exercise?
Over an hour. Over an hour. I mean,
I can't believe as long as you've been smoking cigars that you never found your way to fill a butane lighter.
No.
That's incredible. That's half the fun of cigars is having cool lighters.
No, I just use the cheap lighters or use matches.
Well, even the cheap ones are butane.
No, I mean the kind that you buy at 7-Eleven.
Yeah, well, even those are butane.
Yeah, but you don't fill them up.
You don't fill them up,
no. When they run out, you just throw them away.
They're gone after that.
They're out of there. So I got her to help me with that. So anyway, thank you.
So does it work now, the lighter work again?
No, because it doesn't have anything in it.
Oh, because you weren't able to get the butane.
I won't know until I go home tonight with this stuff that
you just
gave
me. You ought to get yourself a full thing of that.
Yeah.
That's actually almost all the way empty.
Premium butane fuel refill.
Mm-hmm. That should have instructions how to do it on the side and a picture. You don't even
it
does it have a picture?
Yeah.
See, that's what you do.
It does.
See that?
Right.
That's what you do.
That's great.
I'll try to read it before I try it. Don't have to read anything. Just look at the picture. That's what I did the first time I used it.
inlet valve. But it says read carefully.
Yes, right.
Read carefully.
And wait a couple of minutes after you fill it.
To that, light it.
Yes, please. I've made that mistake.
Because that I know, that's where you can set yourself on fire and stuff.
You know.
You're used to the toast lighters, right?
Oh, God.
Good one, Buzz.
Hey.
Buzz.
Good one, Buzz.
Buzz with his... That's your umbrella reference.
Yes, it is.
You never forget, do you?
Never forget.
No, he doesn't. Now, listen, about Elian Gonzalez.
Yes.
I just got to get this off my chest. I know I've said this many times. I could give a rat's ass. If this kid floated up in my front yard, I would just kick the raft and float him on.
Mm-hmm.
Say, just get out of here. I don't care if he comes, if he goes, right. If he stays. If he leaves. I really don't care if he stays with the relatives in Miami. I don't care if he stays with his dad. I don't care if he goes back to Cuba. I don't give a rat's ass. I'm just tired of seeing it play out on my TV set.
You'd feel differently if he had a good fastball. That's for sure. Because you'd care then. You'd want him to play for your favorite team.
I'm really just sick of it, and I'm sick of the coverage. And once again, I've got to call the networks out on this, that I'm sick that after something finally happened on Saturday morning,
right.
When they finally went in there and they busted down the door, after they got done showing that videotape about a million times,
right.
And showing that one photo of the military guy going in with a gun and with the goggles and the helmet, and the photo incidentally looks so staged. Yeah, I know it's not.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's so jive.
It looks like an old still from, like, you remember, like, on the Dick Van Dyke Show?
Right.
When they would have scenes from upcoming episodes, and they would actually hold up a picture, and it was Dick Van Dyke and Mary Tyler Moore, and they were posing like they were going to be in the next episode.
Right, right,
it was
exactly.
Like a fake publicity picture.
Ooh,
like that.
Ooh,
yeah.
Scary!
Right. Once you got past the shock value
right.
Of seeing them raid the house and then seeing that picture, and then once you got past the shock value of seeing the people light tires on fire and, like, and toss newspaper machines into the street.
Work stoppage, I think, today down in Miami.
No,
right?
Tomorrow's the
work
stoppage.
Talking about, yeah, okay.
Some would say it's every day. I wouldn't say that, but some would say
yes.
But once you got past the real stuff that happened,
right.
Really about maybe 60 minutes of actual news content,
mm-hmm.
All of it put together, the raid on the house, the picture, the setting the tires on fire.
Right.
They wasted the entire goddamn day on Saturday and into Sunday with the coverage of this. Where you got to go to the guy who's in front of the house in Miami.
Right.
And you got to go to the guy who's in front of the Andrews Air Force Base. And you got to go to the guy who's talking to the protesters in Miami. And they're not saying anything. They have nothing new to say.
Right.
They just bounce it from one guy to the next.
That's because that's what they do best.
Well,
they take something that is nothing and they
sick of it.
And they make it all important and it's really not worth anything.
Just sick of it.
There's actually a term for that. It's called massaging the story, and the idea is to give the
J-O-ing the story. They're
exactly.
Not massaging, they're masturbating it.
That's a better term.
I think that is a better term.
True.
For it, where they just kind of just rehash and rehash
well,
and
listen,
rehash.
Mm-hmm. Just for future reference, because I'm kind of an expert when it comes to this topic of masturbation, the story actually jizzed on Saturday morning at 5:15 when they broke the house down.
You know, the thing
that
is...
That was the moment of jizz.
I'll tell you right now that this whole deal with news operations doing the massaging, masturbating of the story, it has become the only way that the local news and national news operates now. There is no longer any desire whatsoever to really get a story when it comes to the local news. I mean, on some of the datelines, on some of the 2020s, you will occasionally get somebody that's going out and actually digging to try to get new information. But by and large, certainly on the local level, that doesn't exist anymore.
No.
You know, you get they'll put their occasional consumer reporter on saying, your bathroom tissue could kill you.
And I'll tell you what,
during sweeps,
right.
But it's crap.
What pisses me off, the station that I can rely on to give me no credible news information, Channel 5.
Mm-hmm.
That is the station that Saturday night, in the middle of Jerry Seinfeld, broke in for some creep who was standing in front of Andrews Air Force Base because the goddamn fisherman was trying to get in.
Right.
You know, I expect that from the NBC affiliate, from the ABC affiliate, from the CBS affiliate.
But Fox, you always want them entertainment to be number one.
I don't expect that from Channel 5, and I want to tell the people at Channel 5, if you think anybody takes your news seriously, you are kidding yourselves. You can have all of the fancy lights and the fancy graphics that you want.
Like the Channel 5.
People know that Channel 5 news is a friggin' joke. And when you put on the Jerry Seinfeld show at 7 o'clock on Saturday night,
right,
I'll be damned if you break into it. And it was a great one. It was the one where George poisons his girlfriend and doesn't know that he's poisoning her.
Oh, my God, with the envelope?
Yeah.
From the stationery.
And the one where Jerry meets Janine Garofalo, who is his perfect girl.
Oh, my God.
And Jerry gets engaged. And right in the middle of this, I'm enjoying the show. I haven't seen it for a couple of years.
Right.
They got to break in because Channel 5 is first with local news. Oh, bull S. And there was no local news. The local news was it was a guy in front of Andrews Air Force.
The fisherman that you hate.
Yes, and it was the fisherman.
That's why you're so hostile towards the fisherman. Mm-hmm. Because he interrupted your Jerry Seinfeld.
No,
he was whining.
No. It goes way past the Jerry Seinfeld. It's
right.
Just a Saturday morning when he was on TV, and I've had it with that. With that bitch who lives in the house also.
No.
I've seen enough of her on television also.
The one that was holding up the picture about him, right?
They came into this house. They took him away. Okay, deal with it. They did it. They did it. They took him.
I wish you
gone.
You know, every time you do this, I just wish more and more that you were somehow associated with the Justice Department or the State Department. I really do, because I think things would be a lot easier. I'd like to see your press comment. You should be a press secretary.
That's what I'd say. We did it.
You should go down and replace Joe Lockhart. You know, Joe Lockhart is giving this very detailed explanation of how the White House feels and why they did what they did. You just get in front of the, reporters and say, deal with it. Thank you very much. You'd have probably
done.
You'd have the record for the shortest press briefings.
The kid is with his papa.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's talk about the midgets in the real estate commercial.
Dwarves.
Excuse me. The dwarves in the real estate commercial.
See, if you were the White House press secretary, you really have to watch that.
I'd work with a 10-second delay.
That'd be good.
A double delay.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'll be right back. The dwarves.
But I'm just sick of it. I'm sick of it. And now they're saying that it's going to play out until May. That Elion and his father are going to stay around here in the D.C. area until May.
I think it might happen quicker than
until somebody makes a decision about what they're going to do.
I think when they see the kid with his father, I think they may just say, hey, come on, just deal with it.
Listen, if this bastard, and I mean Elion's father, if he wants to go back and live in Cuba... You know, wants to live in a communist country?
Well, I think, he's getting... that's the one thing that I think is true.
Let him.
He is getting pressure probably like there's never been on him. You know,
then
we're talking
him.
About, threatening his family and stuff. I'm sure that's going
then
on.
Then take his kid. Then take the kid and go. Just get out of my country. And stop interrupting Jerry Seinfeld. You know, when I'm watching that, I don't want to see Channel 5 come in. I go, hey, we're Channel 5. Guess what? We're a real TV station. We're going to prove it to you now. We're going to F up the only good show that we run.
Was it the man-woman that was reporting out there?
No, it wasn't Will Francis.
Is that his name, Will Francis?
Yes, Will Francis.
Hi, Will. Hi, Will. That is guy. He does not look right in those suits. He really doesn't. He looks like he gets done with that 10 o'clock news and then goes down to the local drag show.
And he tries to be so masculine.
He does indeed.
He really does.
He misses it.
But he's the most effeminate reporter. And you know he's worked his way up the ladder at Channel 5?
And not effeminate in a Rex Reed, Jim J. Buttock kind of way.
No, right.
He's effeminate in a real...
Like, in a hetero way.
He looks like a girl.
He looks like Pat. He's that kind of...
Yeah.
Could be a guy, could be a girl thing. Like, what's that? Hillary Swank.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
He's the Hillary Swank of Channel 5.
He looks like if you got him. First of all, he wears the shirt that's a little too large around the neck, so it looks like the girl wearing the shirt. You know that with the oversized tie. You know when you see whenever you see a girl in the movies that's trying to dress like a boy, he just looks strange. I think you could take him out of the business suit and put him in like a blouse.
You've had this thought, apparently.
Wow.
You've given this a lot of thought.
I sure have.
About putting Will... What's his last name?
Thomas?
Will Thomas. Putting Will Thomas from Channel 5 at a dress.
Will Francis.
Hello, Francis! It's Will Thomas, not Will Francis.
You know, he's in a movie.
He's in Random Hearts.
He's in Random Hearts, which I watched. Yeah. Which I watched the other night.
Yeah. Of course, Channel 5 is in the movie Random Hearts.
Credibility.
Right, because Channel 5 blows.
Will Thomas.
Channel 5 should do what they do. They run cartoons. They run Jenny Jones.
Yeah.
They run Maury Povich. And they run Fox shows. That's what they should do.
But they have Sue Palka.
Yeah, right.
Wow.
Hello, Doug.
Hey, how's it going, Don and Mike?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, how's it going? Y'all are great.
Thank you.
I was just wondering if y'all knew that there's a betting line, actually, on if Elian Gonzalez goes back to Cuba or not.
What is the current line?
Well, yes is -175 for that. So that's for every $175 laid down, you get the 175 back plus 100.
Laid down. There's a betting line right now as to whether or not you're from Baltimore, sir. I'm saying it's 6-2 that you're from Baltimore.
No, not Baltimore. Rockville.
You have the Maryland accent though.
Rockville. Were you born in Baltimore?
No, sir.
No. No, I was not.
No, but then the no is plus 145.
The what is?
The no is plus 145. You want to bet no that he doesn't go back.
Here's the deal. Little Lillian, we got a bet going, and right on, if you can bet on whether or not he's going back to Cuba,
you got it,
if
buddy.
If you're right, you'll get the money.
You got it, buddy.
I bet no.
No.
I bet no.
No.
Hello, Karen. You're out of here. Hi, Karen.
Yes. Radio gods.
Hi there.
One short thing about this alien mess. No one seems to want to address the fact that this whole problem, the crux of the problem, revolves around that nutball who took in Elian as the mother. My husband and I were awake to see this live, and she came out.
What were you doing up at that hour? Saturday night. You haven't on.
Yeah,
late night?
My grandmother just passed away. We were taking care of her estate. I think we were both just so exhausted. We both woke up real early and watched this whole thing, and and finally said, finally. Good. Get this thing over with. And we're taking bets on which picture we're going to be looking at for the next 3 days, what coverage we're going to be looking at for the next month. Well, an hour after they took the boy away, she came out for her first statement.
Okay, honey, listen, please.
It's having more fun playing the tones and listening, whatever you were saying.
I'm sure she was saying something that was important, but please.
We'll tribute to Grandma.
Hello, Kevin.
Hey, Radio Gods.
Hi there.
I have to agree about this Fox 5. You know what they need to do is crash that damn helicopter.
Oh, that's
nice. Oh,
no, nice.
See, there you're wrong. That's the only way that Fox 5 in this market of Washington, D.C. is right. They're the only station that has a helicopter. I'm all for helicopters.
I think Fox 5 has the best anchors. I like the guy with the gray hair.
Oh, the Kendall.
And I like the lady that's on there. I like both of them. I think they're really fun.
Listen, they just take themselves so seriously. Nobody who watches Channel 5 expects real news. They might as well have cartoon people giving the news.
They really should.
Kent Brockman.
Yeah, they should have the guy from
The
Simpsons.
Right now.
I agree.
Fox 5 News. I'm Kent Brockman. Now we're going to go right up to National Airport on Thanksgiving Day. Look at the traffic. Look at the people leaving on their planes.
Hello, Benny.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey, Don. Hey, Mike.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, I agree totally with you. I hate that fisherman. And I was just wondering who you think is going to play him in the TV movie.
I know exactly who's going. I'm so glad you brought this up.
Tom Wopat.
No. Bronson Pinchot. That guy that was Don't be ridiculous.
But he doesn't have a trace of an accent, the fisherman.
Well, you dub it in. Or you get Jakov Smirnoff. You get him to shave his beard, and he would look like the fisherman.
Who will play Janet Reno?
Dick Butkus.
Very good. Touche.
Touche. Had it with that fisherman. Jesus Christ, the guy's on television all weekend long, every station. You can't get away from it.
Right.
You really can't. No matter what station you turn on, he's a goddamn fisherman.
Mm-hmm.
Big tattooed arms.
High fastball. Out of the park.
Hello. Don and Mike, please turn your radio down.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
All right, we're doing great, thank you.
Yeah, I'd like to talk about Elian.
I'm sorry, I am just trying to move past Dick Butkus in the role. And the role of Janet Reno for this evening's performance will be played by Hall of Famer Dick Butkus.
Yes, hello, sir.
Yes, I think the boy should be shot by firing squad. Thank you.
All right,
thank you.
Thank you. Thank you
for having me. We have millions of people that listen to this show.
Thank you. Hello, Don and Mike.
Radio gods.
Hi there.
This fisherman, doesn't he remind you of like Cato Kalin?
Yeah, I get that parallel where he's kind of just a hanger on, really nothing much to do. Why isn't he out fishing? I mean, seriously, what he's doing is he's sponging off of this.
Yes.
Where is the money coming in? How are are these people supporting themselves?
Excellent question.
I agree.
Questions.
The fisherman. What's he doing? He should be going out and getting cod.
Right. He should be catching marlin or whatever that
is. Marlin, that's right.
The Florida marlin.
You probably don't get cod down in that part of the world.
You guys are great. Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
I agree. How come he's not on his fishing boat?
Right? Getting a bonefish. That's what they have down there, bonefish.
Don and Mike.
Mr. Geronimo.
Yes.
Hey, a couple things I'd love to tell you. First of all, that's exactly how Jack Cassidy burned his house down trying to put freaking lighter fluid in his butane lighter. Nice move.
Was that really the way he did it?
No, yeah. You guys making this up.
Hey, gentlemen, I called you about something important here, actually. I've been a long-time listener of yours. I love you guys. Trust your opinions.
Thank you.
Me and my wife have been trying to have a child for a couple years, and we finally have succeeded.
Congratulations.
Well, we haven't had it yet, but I got a question for you.
Yeah.
I trust your opinion on putting faces to people, and I've always been told I look like, remember Adrian's Med?
Do I, yes.
70s.
I knew that just by the sound of your voice.
Hey, thanks a lot.
I thought you either probably would look like Adrian Zemed or Denny Terrio.
Yeah,
the dueling hosts of Solid Gold. Was
pretty
it
much
Solid Gold or...
I think it was Solid Gold.
Was there was a Dance Fever, something like that?
They were interchangeable.
Solid Gold, right.
Terrio and Zemed.
The question is, I want you to put a face on my baby, my unborn child here.
I'll tell you the darkest day of Solid Gold. That was when you had the duo of Andy Gibb and Marilyn McCoo.
Yes, very, very sad.
And do you remember the real worst day of Solid Gold, the worst host they ever had?
No, who was the worst host?
Rigdon. Rigdon's outrageous welcome to Solid Gold.
That didn't last very long.
No, it didn't.
So tell me who my baby's going to look like here. My wife's been told 10 times, if not 100, that she looks like, I always forget her name, that girl, the brunette on, what's it called, a family?
I mean, just goodbye.
You know, me.
Goodbye.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike.
Baby will look like Damien from The Omen.
Hello, David.
I'm trying to get through to you, Gay. I'm the guy that left those cigars for you when you went out to L.A. to do that last taping on King of Queens.
Oh, you're very nice. We did receive those. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem, buddy. Hey, listen, I think that Fisherman's banging the bottom out on that cousin. I think that's the only reason he's hamming it up for the
But isn't she married?
No, not because she's only 21 years old. She's not married.
Is that the one that everybody's talking about being the hottie?
Yeah. Well, yeah, and I don't see it.
I don't either.
She's not hot at all.
No, she's not hot at all. But I think he's just hamming it up.
She got a mouthful of braces, right?
And she got some bad skin on her, too. Real bad skin.
She's been under a lot of pressure. She's probably breaking out.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike, Radio Gods. How you doing?
We're doing great, thank you.
Great. Hey, you know that fisherman, what do you think? He caught himself a little boy and he gets to keep him? I'm serious, the way he's holding on to him. And then also, the United States, didn't they not keep, like, kidnapping him from the father, trying to keep him?
Hold on, you should just stop while you're ahead.
Absolutely.
He caught a little fish, wants to caught a little boy, wants to keep
him. To keep
him. Well, that's why he's not fishing.
Okay, hold on. End it right there. That's good. That's good. I meant to steal that one from you. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike. How are you guys doing?
Hey, buddy. Hello.
Hello. First off, I think Lyle Lovett is a good-looking guy compared to Donato the Fisherman. And second, Maris Slasis, or whatever her name
is. Right.
They interviewed her on CNN, and she referred to him as Donato. You know, that guy who's a fisherman. And
so maybe there is something there.
Oh. Yeah, no, but you saw a look from there. She was kind of like brushing him aside. And you saw this look from him. It was like, only in an instant, like, I'm a lot more than just Donato the fisherman, aren't I?
I am Donato, the media star.
Donato.
They came and they took Elliot away from me. Please hide it in a closet with him.
Bravo.
God damn it.
Bravo.
Please. What's that guy doing in the closet with Elion?
No, good question. He's hiding him because he didn't want to throw him back.
Oh, Bundy.
Yes, Don.
Yes.
Speaking of hot midgets, didn't you have sex with one time?
A dwarf, sir.
Yes, I did.
Yes, you did. Okay.
I did for money.
Oh, okay.
You did for money, but you also did because you have an open mind.
Mm-hmm.
You're open to all people of all types.
Mainly for money.
Yeah, for money. For money, you will be open to everyone.
I let Big Jim Ryan watch.
In your closet.
In the closet of my vacant townhome in Detroit.
Speaking of hiding in closets.
I did it for $50.
Wow.
Hello.
Good money.
Hello.
Vicky.
Yes. Oh, my God, that fisherman. I hate him.
Yeah, we're all united in that.
Oh, no. I like the fisherman.
Oh, please.
No, his 15 minutes was over last Thanksgiving. Get him off
television.
I'd like to, you know, when this all settles down, I'm going to take a vacation down to Miami, and I will charter his boat.
You know, he's going
like to
be the
go out
first
and fish
one.
With him.
He has his little boy.
The first one, he's going to be the first one to sell his rights to Hollywood. You know that.
Well,
oh,
he's smart.
He's horrible.
He's smart. He's a good guy. Stop picking on him.
Not on my show.
Hey.
Hey.
What's going on, guys?
Hey.
Hey, do you guys watch the Fox 5 on Saturday morning?
Do I watch the Fox 5? No, not on Saturday, I don't think I do. Why?
Well, there's this hottie newscaster with the blonde hair.
Oh, I think I've seen her. I think I know exactly who you're talking about.
Is that the girl who's in the helicopter?
No, that's Amy Fox. You know, she's a lesbian now.
I love people that are real connoisseurs of anchor people.
And I think she should be in Fox, the magazine. That's
ah.
What I'd like to
okay.
Thanks. Didn't we have a couple of copies of Fox up
we
there
did
in New
up
York?
In New York, right. Mm-hmm. Good porno magazine.
Very good.
Steve.
Dynamite, how are you?
Hey, buddy.
Good, man. I know we can play Elian's father. Do you remember the TV show Wings? The sitcom?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That, yeah.
The taxi driver.
Yes.
Absolutely.
As a matter of fact, that actor was also with Denzel Washington in The Siege.
He's in a little movie called Big Night, too, with Stanley Tucci, which is a good movie.
Tony Shalhoub, I think his name is. Isn't he in that show that's on with Neil Patrick Harris now?
Yep.
Stark Raving Mad.
Good.
Yeah,
he's
right.
A great actor.
And,
really
and
good
you're
actor.
Right. He is the perfect. That's a dead ringer for Elian.
Absolutely. Yeah. I saw him the first time on Saturday morning. I was like, there he is. That's the guy from Taxi.
From Wings,
right.
From Wings. All right, one more call. Let's go to Jason. Jason.
Donna Mike.
Hey, buddy.
How are you guys?
Hi, we're great, thank you.
Good. Hey, I wanted to give you guys a heads up on Kathy Lee Gifford. She's going to be in Rockville May 10th from 2 to 4. She's going to be having like a signing.
Why are you whispering, sir?
I'm not.
Mike, because he's giving up.
It's a heads up. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Up the heads up.
Continue to whisper.
But she's going to be at I don't know. I don't want to make it sound like a plug, but do you want me to tell you where she's going to be?
Yes, go ahead.
She's going to be at Tower Records in Rockville. It's May 10th from 2 to 4. I kind of thought it'd be goofy you guys could send somebody out.
All right, this is one of our spies checking in. Mike,
yeah.
Thanks for the inside info.
Sure.
Thanks. Over. Roger. Hey, would I be the only one to think that maybe now Kathy Lee's not as hot as she was a few months ago?
Mm-hmm.
No. Sorry today.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm not talking about looking hot. I'm talking about, but she's just,
oh,
I think
yes.
She's going to be yesterday's news. Very
absolutely.
Shortly. Yes, absolutely.
Yes. She had a nice low-cut on dress today.
Any brassiere?
None that I could detect.
Very good. Yeah.
Nice big boobs. Hello, Brian.
Hey, I know the name of that woman that does Fox Mornings.
Yes, who is she?
That woman, Dee Sanders.
Dee Sanders?
No, it's Dee's Nuts.
Dee's Nuts.
I just walked right into it.
I almost caught you, Mike.
Oh, man.
I almost got you. Hold on, everybody. We'll be right back.
Damn it.
Right.
The Don and Mike Show.
Right. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, darling.
Hi, Mike Boo-Boo. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I want to ask you something that I didn't ask you at home.
All right.
When we were, bonding. Talking.
Mm-hmm.
When you were discussing, how you're feeling.
Yes. And when we were having that private discussion just between the two of us where I share and think you're my friend?
Where you do what?
Where I think you're my friend and I share
intimate
details of my life.
Well, I'm not going to say anything that I don't think you want, that you would be ashamed to hear repeated. I'm just going to mention that you said to me today, right before lunch, you said that you had some sex dreams last night.
Yeah.
And you said that you had sex dreams that made you orgasm.
Yeah.
I was wondering, did they make you orgasm in the dream, or did they make you orgasm in real life?
In real life.
Wow.
Wow. Wow, that's something that I've been unable to accomplish.
Yeah,
you're able to have an orgasm while you're sleeping, but you can't have one with me while I'm awake.
No.
And while you're away.
But that's like bonus. You don't have to do anything.
Was there a man in the dream?
There were a couple of men.
All right.
Oh,
and
wow.
Here we go.
Wow.
Now we're getting somewhere. Who were the men who
I
gave you such
faces.
Who gave you such violent orgasms that you had orgasms? And how do you know you had orgasms while you were sleeping if you were sleeping?
They woke me up.
Wow.
Were you twitching or something? Or I mean, were you... Was there any,
we know what they're...
Careful.
Was there any evidence?
I didn't check for evidence. What do you mean, evidence?
Well, did you have a wet spot?
No, of Sugar Bear. No. Was there
manual assistance, or was
no.
this something that just happened?
I'm telling you, I was sound asleep, having a dream that involved, like, being a sex slave or something. I'm not even sure what the plot of the dream was.
Jesus Christ.
There were a couple of men involved, and it woke me up, and I thought, hey, bonus, you know, I mean.
Well, but the men were faceless.
Yeah, you know what? They were strangers. I don't even know them. They weren't like, they weren't. Sometimes in my dreams, they'll be TV actors, and that's the really pitiful thing, that you have to hire actors because you don't know enough people to appear in your dreams. But these were just like extras. I don't even know who they were.
Were they doing stuff to you, or were you doing stuff to them?
No, they were to me.
And were they like male model types? Well-built gentlemen?
You know, they were like porn star built.
If they were, if there were two of them, though.
Porn star built. That's what that means.
Yeah, I know. Was it one in your place and one in your no-no?
No, there were two in my place.
Oh my God.
Bravo.
Jesus Christ.
Bravo.
What a mess. I want to tell you, I've been there. That's physically impossible.
I know. I know. I don't know why I have x-rays.
Oh, my God. Wow.
I do. I know.
That's
it's
incredible.
Because I'm a very nice girl in real life, but my dreams are naughty. You know, I know people that don't. For example, I've discussed with my sister before, and her dreams always end in the PG fade to black after a kiss. I mean, I have x-rated dreams, and I don't even watch the movie, so I'm not basing any on memories. They just are created in my subconscious.
What a great boy. I tell you, you must look forward to going to sleep.
And you had more than one orgasm? You had two orgasms?
Just multiple.
Wow.
And then it was like, you know, and then I just got bored and moved on to other dreams.
Jesus, and you mean that these orgasms are so violent that they woke you up?
Yeah, they woke me up, my boo. Maybe I wasn't asleep. Maybe I wasn't in REM sleep, or maybe I wasn't sleeping that deep, but it woke me up, yeah.
And there were no digits involved from your standpoint?
No. I was just, from all exterior purposes, if you had looked at me, you'd think that person is just having a nice, sound sleep with a smile on their face.
And have you had these kind of dreams before?
That's a very rare thing. No, I might have. Yes, I have had that, but it's been years since that kind.
So you've had a dream before where you've orgasmed while you're sleeping before?
That's a treat that, like, God gives you once every decade.
Jesus Christ.
Wow.
I don't know why, but I feel very threatened by that. I felt threatened when she told me that today.
I would feel threatened also. I don't know why.
Yeah, because it's like you're not even necessary.
Right. Well, thank you for pinpointing
it goes beyond that. It's like consciousness is not even necessary.
It's like, you know, your the old expression, it's so easy I could do it in my sleep.
Oh, God. meanwhile, on Saturday night, I was working overtime doing two shifts. And still nothing. I couldn't penetrate.
Oh, wow.
You know, your vagina is like Superman's Fortress of Solitude.
Oh, God.
Well, Sugar Bear, how long does a dream last? A dream lasts for, you know, I don't know.
I know, a dream can seem like 3 seconds, but a dream can really take up to 6 or 7 hours.
And
is that true?
In real life, 3 seconds pretty much seems
so
like
when
seconds.
You're dreaming through the whole...
You go, sometimes you can have a dream that seems like you just wake up and you, wow, that was like 5 seconds worth of dream. You're dreaming for hours.
Really?
Well, there you go. I mean, my dreams work harder.
I wish I could remember my dreams. I hardly ever remember my dreams.
I mean, I have sex dreams sometimes, but I've never had a sex dream where I've woken up and, you know.
Not even as a teenager?
Yeah, that's interesting. Not even as a kid, huh?
Not without some kind of help from me, no. Mm-hmm. No, never.
You'd wake up. And help yourself.
Finish
me too. I don't think I ever had one of those nocturnal emissions, as they like to say.
Well, I'm surprised because that's supposed to be. I mean, I've never been a teenage boy, but I thought that was a common occurrence for a teenage boy.
I read that a lot. I used to think I was strange because it didn't happen to me. I'm glad to hear I'm not the only one in this room. I don't think it's a prerequisite.
Didn't experience it. I used to have sex with my teddy bear.
Oh.
I did.
Ew.
I did, like when I was grown up. I mean, not when I was grown up.
You were 18?
When I was in my teens.
You had sex with your teddy bear?
Yeah. Did
you have sex when you say that?
I didn't sleep with a teddy bear anymore, so I would wake up, I would feel that way, I would go to the closet, get the teddy bear, and I would hump the teddy bear, I swear to God.
Really, like hump it?
Yeah.
That's pretty weird.
That is weird.
That is very. That is a whole new thing of weirdness.
And that's who we nicknamed him, Krusty.
Oh God,
Krusty the Bear.
Oh God,
his name went from Teddy to Krusty.
I'm gonna hope that when we have sex, I don't have that image in my mind.
That's true. That'll be a tough one to shake.
And I'm gonna hope when we have sex that I'm able to get the image of two guys going in you at the same time.
Oh.
Out of my
mind.
That was productive.
Oh, God. All right. Goodbye, honey.
All right. Goodbye. Goodbye.
Love you.
Love you, too.
Okay. Bye.
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 The old teddy bear.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, Christina.
Hi.
Hey.
I think God was very generous with those dreams last night because I had the exact same experience last night. I don't know what I dreamed, but all I know is I couldn't get back to sleep, and all I wanted to do was get back to sleep.
Well, now, are you saying you orgasmed?
Yes.
Has this happened to you before?
It has happened before, but it hasn't happened in years.
It is a gift, I would think.
It is a gift.
God, how come God won't give us that gift?
Well, you know, you guys can do it all the time.
You know, you're probably right about that. I think that's why guys don't. But I'm sure there are guys that... There are guys, especially in our listening audience,
yes,
that even
are.
As adults have dreamed to the point
with
of
dreams.
Orgasm.
With
yeah.
dreams.
Oh, absolutely, like in their 30s.
I was so excited to hear that Frida had the exact same experience, though.
Have you ever had a sex dream where you were dreaming and you woke up and you were amazed that it was a dream? That it was
oh,
so
yes.
real, that,
yes,
and then you're
absolutely.
Kind of sitting there and you're looking at me and you're like, wow.
I have dreams, not just sex dreams, I mean I have dreams mm-hmm. where I wake up and it takes me... You know, 10, 15 seconds to really think, you know,
right.
hold on, that,
yeah.
that wasn't real. I'm right. I'm really in bed.
Well, that's incredible. That's incredible. To dream to that point is truly amazing. Cool.
Hello, James.
Hello.
Hi.
Is that a mic?
Hi, James.
How are you today?
We're doing great, thank you.
Are you going to tell us about your dreams?
Well, as a matter of fact, I have been following your program for a long time. I haven't found the time to call you, but I felt compelled to comment on your wife's dreams.
Yes, comment. Go ahead, comment, James.
Well, I am a reader, university reader of metaphysics, and one of the studies proved that your wife had an elevated imaginative feelings of, you know, a common fantasy among people who have been subjected to a very long-term relationship, you know, and...
So you're saying that because Frida's been in a relationship for a long time,
yes, yes,
those people are more prone to have sex dreams?
Yes, exactly, because she... probably she was a very vibrant young lady before she got married, and she have...
Yes, and I've just taken it right out of it. Right, okay. All right, thank you, James.
And again, what did I want to tell you? Probably she must have, you know, she went to a recent party, right?
She did what?
She went to a recent gathering, you know, a party, something like that.
A bachelorette
party. She went to a bachelorette party recently, right?
Yes, yeah. I remember when I was just trying to listen to your program, like, when I have time from time to time. You see, one thing is, it could happen to you, you know, like you go somewhere, you just for a moment forget that you are married or you are...
I know what you're saying. You go somewhere and you get horny and
you get all sex
yeah,
up in the
just,
party.
You know, just fantasize yeah. about somebody. Just feel like, oh, suppose I'm not married, suppose I'm single, oh, this is the right guy I would like to be with, this is the right lady I would like to be with, you know, something like that. Then for a moment, you know, you take your mind off, but believe me, such feelings have its place at the back of your subconsciousness for a long time, and from time to time, such intimacy or such contact may reappear in your dream, or even when you are taking a nap, you know, and you just for a moment dream about something that
John.
A close contact you have some few days
on. I feel like I'm talking to Timmy Obibane right
this
now.
Is, are you from Nigeria originally?
Well, I'm from St. Thomas.
You're from St.
Thomas.
Thomas. Okay, all right.
Oh, the islands. Okay.
So you have the same accent as the guy we work with.
Well, we are all British colonized, you know.
Okay,
yeah, under
right.
British.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, James.
Okay,
thank you.
Well, I'll be listening, and from another time, if I have the time, I will comment.
Okay, thank you. Comment. You can comment another time. Sandy.
Comment.
Yes.
Hi.
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 How are you?
We're great, thank you.
Good. I just wanted to let you know that those dreams with women happen all the time.
Do they really? I've never heard of that until my wife told me that today.
Yep.
Dream.
Really?
Yeah, they're wonderful.
A nice jizz dream.
Hey, guys, that's really unfair, though. Guys ought to be able to have those dreams.
Hold on.
But maybe...
I believe you called him, Mike. Here's, okay. Here's Jay from Sacramento, who has nocturnal emissions all the time.
Oh, gross.
Jay, you have wet dreams?
I've had them, yeah. Yeah, I'm 40 years old, I still have them.
Jesus.
Wow. There you go. I tell you, it is the weirdest feeling. You're kind of like in that half-awake, half-asleep mode.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I wake up and I'm like, you know, I think I'm peeing my pants, but that ain't pee.
All right. I'll talk about that with girls for the entire show, but
sure.
I'm not talking about that with any more guys.
It's pretty unique. You're a guy like that.
I've never heard of that before.
I think it's just as well. It's something I probably wouldn't want to have happen on a regular basis, because as much fun as it might be, I mean, the explaining you have to do the morning after.
Buzz?
Yes.
Buzz, what is your lead story on the news and comments tonight?
Tired of Elian? O.J. Simpson's back in court.
All right, that's a good tease, Buzz. I like that. Stay tuned, everybody.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
For news and comments.
News and comments.
Coming up. Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike Show. That was very...
That was professional.
Plenty of talk of sex, poops, and mayhem. The Don and Mike Show.
Buzzy, hold on. Let me just clear through these calls.
All right.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah. Is this Don?
Yes, and Mike.
Oh, hi. Just want to let you know, if you do a search on the web for plushies, you'll get to a website that describes sex with stuffed animals.
Yeah.
I'd like to...
Plushies, you have found your fetish.
I would like to point out for the record that when I did that, it was like 11 or 12.
Did, I have to ask this because I'm disturbed by your stuffed animal.
My honesty.
As is always the case, your honesty disturbs me, and I'm curious, was it just to recreate the act, or was the stuffed animal serving as a source of friction?
Yes, absolutely. That was what it was, and I had not experienced sex.
I will be honest as well and tell you that my source of friction was just the sheets. Was the bed sheet.
See, I needed something more than the bed sheet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then it graduated to the blanket itself, the rough surface of the blanket.
Wow.
And I think that many men in our audience as young boys will remember that at the beginning, the mechanics of the function...
You weren't really sure what you were doing.
You weren't doing, and the friction simply, hey, that feels pretty good.
You made it happen.
And that's when, you know, surprise, surprise. Right.
That's when I would wake up and I'd go, oh, it's teddy time. I'd go get the teddy and I would...
And the teddy was what worked for you, so that's why you used that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm defending you in a way here because I
would go right between teddy's legs.
That's right. It was an object, not a being.
Yes, correct.
Right. It wasn't a simulated thing. It was,
no.
It was just, that was the...
It was under the covers.
It was the best thing for you.
I would just put teddy down there.
Well, I don't know.
And I'm on my stomach. And I would...
You see, there's where you lose me a little bit. I mean, if you'd use the pet, the teddy, you know, as you were just lying back and you'd use the teddy, but I guess you did it hands-free, huh? What did you support the teddy with? What did you...
The teddy was on the bottom.
Yeah, I know. But, I mean, I would think that the teddy would be constantly moving up and away. This is the most bizarre goddamn discussion we've ever had.
I don't remember all of the details,
of course,
but I do remember that when we lived in Upper Marlboro, Maryland, that I used to have my teddy bear. I only did it a couple of times.
Well, now you got a website for all the people that did that.
No, I think he's talking about guys who get off on doing that now.
Yeah, well, have you ever thought about revisiting
that? No.
That's pretty twisted.
No,
you know, I was in the F.E.O. Schwartz over the weekend. They've got huge stuffed animals now.
Really?
Like bigger than full-grown humans.
Sexy animals.
Yes.
Dead sexy.
Yeah, dead sexy. You could probably actually, I think they're big and they have like strong, sturdy legs, too. You can actually climb up on top of one.
Go ahead and mock me, because the truth of the matter is that your sheets were my teddy.
I believe you with that.
Same difference.
I was on my back when that was going on.
I would say, why didn't you just use your hands?
Because I didn't know how.
Well, you didn't know how.
I didn't know that would happen. That came later, so to speak.
So you were laying on your back, just rubbing the sheets on you?
Just by accident it happened, and then all of a sudden I'm like, hey, And then I was using.
Were you like back and forth with a towel like this?
No, just kind of like using the, you know, and going back and forth. Yeah, to a certain end. Then all of a sudden, you know, one time, boom, and then later on, you realize that you don't need the sheets. You know, it's an awakening. Is
as
what
I later realized, mm-hmm. I don't need Teddy.
And then, of course, once you realize you don't need the sheets, then it's just, you know, anywhere. You know, in the,
right.
The school bus, anywhere.
Everywhere. Mm-hmm. Hey, Buzz, go to this website. What is it, sir? Give me the address.
I don't know the address. You just have to do a search on plushies, and you should find it.
Plushies. And how did you come to find it? Site?
How the hell did you do a search on plushie?
You know, I don't even know.
You don't even know.
Please.
This is somebody, I believe, sir, you probably logged hours of time on certain websites.
You just got done effing Barney, didn't you?
No,
didn't
comment.
You? No comment.
You having a little trouble, sir?
No, I'm fine.
Okay. These listen, moments of silence are starting to disturb me.
Yes. Listen, I was 11 or 12. How old were you the last time you effed a stuffed animal?
No, never have.
You know, you never have. You just kind of found that website by accident.
Yeah.
Answer the question, please. No, don't laugh. Answer the question. If you are not currently effing a Cabbage Patch Kid, how would you possibly know about a website that features freaks who enjoy effing stuffed animals?
Yeah, you know, I can't even remember how I found this thing, and I don't know the address now, but...
Boy, that'd be tough. That'd be tough in a court of law.
But yet, you called a national radio show.
Guilty.
This guy, I'm suspicious right now. You know, I'm suspicious of two things. First, a lot of I don't knows now that he was so vigorous, say, plushies! Yeah, it's the plushies website, and now there's all these moments of silence here.
Do you love the feeling of plush fur against your skin?
Yeah, it's there.
Okay, read it.
Well, the parts I can't read. Does it make you wet or
hard?
Do you want to know what our girls did here and attach a nice big strap-on to their toys?
Listen, you perv. I am telling you an innocent story about my youth. And you call with this crap.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm talking to you, perv.
He loves it. Yeah, that laughter is an acknowledgement right there. Yeah, then he hangs up. Yeah, off into his, back to his website.
Something for everybody on the internet.
Hello, Dave.
Yeah.
Hey.
That guy, for him to say that he doesn't know how he got there is 100% complete bold-faced lying. There's only one way you get to a site like that, and that's by going to... you know, like the TWord.com or whatever it is.
Not
you
true.
You go to one of those sites, you go under fetishes.
No.
And I mean,
hold on, Buzz is going to defend that guy. Buzz?
I did a search for plushies. PLUSHIES.
Yeah, but no, what this guy's saying, Buzz, is how would this guy possibly, would you just, you and not, and none of us would put in the word
no.
Plushies.
That's true, but apparently some people do collect them. Having nothing to do with sex.
Yeah, but who's ever heard of a toy called a plushie?
I agree with this caller. This caller is saying that this guy
is a perv.
Had to be looking for a type of activity to get to where he got.
Animaniacs Warner plushie list. Alex's Warner plushies. Collectors connection. Animaniacs. Comfy bunny diapers.
Okay, but here's what I'm saying though.
Plushies and plushophilia.
Okay, but when you're saying that, when you're putting like the Warner Brothers in front of it or Animaniacs,
right.
It's not like. It's a collection of some guy's stuffed animals. These are animals that these guys have sex with.
No, not on the Animaniacs. No, these are people who collect them, save them, and trade them with their friends.
So you mean someone who actually collects,
you know, like,
Animaniacs is on a website that's for guys who F them?
Like
absolutely.
Like Beanie Babies, people collect stuffed animals.
And they call them plushies?
If you put in a generic search for plushies.
But hold on a second. Is the list
uh-huh.
of the guy who just collects the toys
right.
on the same page as the guys who like to F the toys?
They're on the same page of search results, yes.
Oh,
yes, they
search
are.
Search results? See, I thought you had gone to the site
I did.
Already.
I did initially, and now I've backed up to look at the search page again
what
else was listed.
Let's see if we agree with your premise here. So this gentleman who called previously was just interested in collecting stuffed animals. And that's how he...
And he stumbled upon this.
Yeah.
I'm saying his story is plausible if for no other reason than if you put in a general search for plushies, you get Animaniacs and you get pervs.
I think Buzz is actually trying to talk his own way out of finding that page himself.
I think they do. He seems to be very vigorous in defending that guy.
I didn't love my teddy bear, sir.
This gentleman caller.
You know, Isaac and Buzz, you know what, I bet you did 100 worse times. You just don't have the balls to say on the radio. And I think that anyone who was looking for stuffed animals would type in stuffed animals.
Yeah, the fact that the guy knew plushies and then
plushies
he said,
is a,
I don't know how he got, I totally agree with this caller.
It's like a porno term.
The guy was looking for kitty porn.
to an extent. Yeah,
right, sure.
Freaky
he was looking,
fetish.
Right, freaky fetish
yes,
crap.
Fetish.
That's all there is to it. And he found something about stuffed animals or something to that effect.
Right, and then, you know...
It really just happened to arouse himself.
I mean, and let's also realize how quickly he called, and then he pleads this I don't know crap.
And then he said guilty a couple of times, and he hung up.
Yeah, and he with that... Weird. Land of the weird man. I swear to God, the internet, if you really get deep into some of that stuff, it is beyond comprehension.
Hello, Julia.
Hi.
Hi there.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi, baby.
I have a story for you.
Yes.
Okay, I keep having the same wet dream, and I've had it for years, where I'm actually on a moped, and the vibration stimulates me to have a wet dream.
Have you ever been on a real moped and had that happen?
Yes, I have, actually. I had it when I was younger, and I really had no idea what was going on, because I really didn't know what an orgasm was. So when I was younger, I would ride my cousin's moped and have an orgasm, and didn't find out until later on in life that that's what I was having.
Imagine that scene when you return that moped to him, time after time.
Wow. And so now as an adult, do you find reasons to ride mopeds quite frequently?
Actually, no. I have toys now, so. And I have a fiancé, so it's not too bad now.
Well, we don't want to hear about him.
I want to hear about your toys.
Goodbye. Hello, Michelle.
Yes, hi, Donna Mike.
Hi there.
Hey, back to the orgasm thing. I have them all the time in my sleep, way more frequently than ever awake. It's been happening for a few years.
Really, you're another woman like my wife who has orgasms while she sleeps.
Yep. Yeah.
Are they usually involving men?
They sometimes involve men or women or like I don't even know. I'm just dreaming. I'll just wake up and I haven't even, I don't even know what I was thinking about.
Any famous men?
No, not really.
Any plushies?
Just a few.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Bye bye.
God.
Jesus. Okay. It's a weird world.
Anyway, Buzz Plushie, what were you saying?
I wasn't saying anything about them.
We were going to start the news time.
Oh, you want the news now?
Yes, the news.
All right, then. O.J. Simpson back in a California courtroom today trying to make GTE turn over phone records from the day Nicole Simpson was murdered. Simpson is convinced that these phone records will clear his name by proving he couldn't have done the killing because he was on his way to the Los Angeles airport at the time.
You know, what will that son of a bitch just give up?
Well, I think, really, if he can't be convicted in a criminal proceeding anymore, but I think if he keeps doing this, it's going to cause him more harm than he ever would have gotten if he had just laid low. If he starts to dig this stuff up, he's going to be in more trouble than he was before.
Well, tell me what the rule is, because I was talking with somebody this weekend to get about that stupid movie Double Jeopardy.
Right.
And they were telling me how much they love that movie, and I said, well, no, I thought somebody called us on the show and said that movie was a lie.
It's not plausible.
That
it didn't happen.
You can't kill somebody, and thought you kill them, and you didn't really kill them, and then you get out of prison, you find out they're alive. Mm-hmm. You could walk up to them in the middle of Times Square and shoot them, and the cops couldn't do anything to you.
It would not apply in that situation. That would not. I read that somewhere.
It's a different crime. And so what you're saying about O.J. is, even though he's been found innocent by the court of killing his wife,
he could not be retried. That's one where that would be double jeopardy.
Not criminally, not on that charge, no.
Because the thing in Double Jeopardy that makes it BS is that he's not dead. If Nicole Simpson had somehow faked her death and O.J. tried to kill her again and succeeded, he could be retried again, even though he had been acquitted in the initial thing.
Gotcha.
That's why Double Jeopardy, I mean, it'd be fun if that was the real truth, but and that's what was the big problem about that movie, was the whole premise of that movie was based on a fallacy.
Right. Honey, when you get out of here, you can walk up to him in the middle of Mardi Gras,
right,
and you can shoot him, and and they can't touch you.
That's right. That's right. Not true.
And then that's when she started doing sit-ups and running 20 miles a day in the rain and stuff.
That's worth watching the movie for. Watching Ashley Judd.
Ashley Judd.
Well, OJ says these phone records.
That Ashley Judd. Look at her.
Ooh, washing a car.
Ooh, it's Ashley Judd. Ooh, see.
OJ says the phone records, if GTE is forced to give them up, will prove that Nicole took a call at 11 p.m. while OJ was in a limousine headed for LAX. Nicole's family says this is just another publicity stunt. The editor of the Romanian edition of Playboy magazine is in trouble for one of the articles in the April edition. The article is called How to Beat Your Wife Without Leaving Marks on Her Body. The editor says it was an April Fool's joke. Playboy executive Christy Hefner not laughing. She's flown her international editor to Bucharest to have a talk with the local editor, the author, and the rest of the staff there. Quoting that international editor, they egregiously violated the standards of Playboy's editorial guidelines. We make it our duty to stay away from violence.
And they egregiously violate the centerfold, too, with those hairy legs.
Buzzy timeout.
All right.
You know, we spent so much time with the phone calls. We'll come back with a full segment of news and comment after this.
These fellows are off the muscle. Don and Mike.
All right, we tried. Okay, Buzz, let's do a full segment of news and comment.
Hi, Donna Mike. Most Americans, as we discussed earlier, approve of the government's seizure of Elyon. A CNN Gallup poll shows 57% approve, 37% disapprove. General consensus seems to be it wasn't pretty, but it had to be done, that the Miami relatives forced the government into using force.
Just get it off my TV.
Right.
That's all, just get it off.
That'd be about 78%. I think if they really did a poll on that, how many people would like this story to be out of the news, you get about 78%.
Or higher.
Not like you can avoid it. I mean, right. You got to go to ESPN or something to avoid the story.
That's right.
Oh, this morning, I was watching Good Morning America. We've got to get these retards on the show. We're talking to these two idiot people. A guy and a girl had a kid.
Mm-hmm.
They named the baby Espen.
Yes.
Really, because they're such big fans of ESPN?
Well, because he is.
She's clueless.
And she was just, you know.
Nice of her to go along.
She's just the jizz receptacle.
Strong-willed woman, was she?
Yeah. And the guy is just as dumb as a box of rocks.
Hey!
Looking into the camera this morning while they're interviewing him, and they're like busting his balls, or maybe it was the Today Show. One of those shows, they're busting his balls, but because they're on the Today Show, they're trying to be light spirited about it. But really, you know, they all just want to say, you know, what is your problem, you idiot? And the baby was screaming its head off during the entire interview. You know, named it Espen.
Really?
And the dad says, well, I like Sports Center. I watch Sports Center almost every morning.
Three times a day, he says he watches.
Oh, is that what he said? Three times a day?
Yeah. Is it a boy or a girl, baby?
Boy. It's a boy.
Espen is the actual spelling of the kid's name. It's an actual name of Danish origin. That's the only way the missus would go along with naming the baby Espen, was because it was an actual name in an actual baby name book.
Yeah, I wonder what... See, that's how they found a baby name book.
Right.
Because that'd be the only book they've read.
The kid's nickname is Espy.
I came very close to naming my second daughter Bravo.
You like that, Jim?
Yeah, I do indeed. Inside the actor's studio. I watch it 2-3 times a day. Here, baby Bravo.
Baby Bravo. I've always liked the name Sid.
That is a nice name.
I know a lot of guys named Sid. I like the name Sid.
That is a nice name.
Yeah.
Very nice name.
It's not a cable channel. It's just a guy that I know.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a good name.
If it was a cable channel, you'd be on it all the time, though.
I would.
That's for sure.
24/7.
That's right.
I would be. Last week, we told you about a newspaper reporter being arrested for stabbing a TV camera guy while covering the Elyon story. Well, today the LA Times is denying that one of its reporters threw rocks at police there and then photographed the police response. Once again, the alleged perp is a female reporter. The 38-year-old woman in this case was also arrested on felony charges. The paper says it's fighting to have the charges dropped. Her pictures were on yesterday's front page. If she's convicted, it could mean up to 5 years in prison.
Seriously, I have to call my children.
Okay.
Sundance. Odyssey. Food.
Food.
Fox Family. Stars. Get your brother BET. Cinemax. C-SPAN. It's time for dinner.
And what about True?
That's one of the Encore channels.
It's like Bruce Willis's kid's name.
Wham.
Yeah. And also, I'd go with the abbreviated name. Where's Weston? W-E-S-T-N. Weston.
And what would you, W-G, and that'd be, what, like, Wogan. Hey, get Wogan.
Wogan.
Where's Wogan?
Where's War? W-O-R.
AMC, how would you pronounce that? American music, movie classics.
Amp.
Amp. Hey,
where's Amp?
Come here, baby Amp. Hubbo.
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 Hubbo. Come here, Hubbo. Get your brother Sci-Fi and Showtime.
And where's your other cousin?
Hubbo.
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 Hubbo. Don't forget the twins.
Who are they?
Tint and Tibbs.
Yeah, you gotta get that turner in there.
Where's Youppin?
Youppin!
All the baby networks are here.
Playboy and his sister Spice.
Oh, Buzz.
Yeah,
there you, okay, go. There you go.
Christine Aguilera says she's disgusted by the new song about her from Eminem. The song calls Aguilera a little bitch. In the song Real Slim Shady, the CD comes out May 23rd.
My name is...
The song also accuses her of doing naughty things with MTV's Carson Daly and Fred Durst of Limp Bizkit.
God, I hate Carson Daly.
Aguilera tells the Daily News the song is offensive and, above all, not true.
Not true. Did you hear that? Eminem, not true.
My name is...
An angry Chevy Chase talked up socialism at the Earth Day rally here in Washington.
I
want to
tell you something, Buzz. Hold on.
Yes?
I got a comment on this.
On Earth Day? On Chevy Chase?
Earth Day.
I want you to listen to this list of celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
You know what Earth Day is? Earth Day is for celebrity losers.
I have to agree with you. As much as I believe in the environment, I have to tell you, list of celebrities, you're absolutely
these
right.
These people don't believe in the environment. These people are simply desperate to get on television.
Except you get the hot one there who's been in the news lately, old Leonardo. You know, he's hot. His stock is still hot.
Right. Well, but he had that bad movie where he was stuck on a beach.
Right.
So here's who you have. You have Melanie Griffith.
Mm-hmm.
She's over. Chevy Chase. Tom Arnold. Clint Black. Edward James Olmos,
yes.
Dennis Weaver, and Ed freaking Begley Jr.
There you go.
That's your list of celebrities. Please.
They wouldn't fill an auditorium, that's for sure.
I looked today in the Post. They got a big picture of all these dumb losers. There's Chevy Chase with Melanie Griffith. Tom Arnold gets a nice big picture in the Washington Post.
I am Tom Arnold.
Marry me on the web. God, all of them losers. All these celebrities, obviously, you know... They go out, they litter, they pee on their lawns, they set fires, they could give a rat's ass about the environment.
And that is the greatest violation of the environment as far as you're concerned, is peeing on the lawn, right? I mean, you can do a lot. Hey, to heck with the oils, don't pee on your lawn.
Unless you're peeing off the deck.
Then it's legal.
Then it's okay, because I've got that one bald spot right off my deck.
I think it's natural. It's all natural. Yes. You're basically feeding the earth.
Giving
you know,
back.
What's the water we're drinking? Didn't Buzz say it last week?
Right,
the dinosaur urine.
Cycled through everything.
But listen, I make no bones. I've got no problem telling you. I could give a rat's ass about the environment because I think about my lifetime and my kids' lifetime.
Uh-huh.
The environment's going to be okay for the next 100 years. That's all I care about.
What about if your son has children?
Tough.
Well,
TTs. By then we'll have colonization of the moon or something.
Right.
Yeah, I could care less. Go ahead. Run your smokestacks all day and all night. Litter all you want. Mm. Pollute the planet. But you'll never find me being a hypocrite like Chevy Chase.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a guy who's just so desperate. Coming off the fantastic success of the movie Snow Day, that he has to come to Earth Day to get his picture in the newspaper.
Earth Day.
Earth Day.
As Woody Harrelson would say.
Woody Harrelson would say.
Earth Day.
Earth Day. Well, Chevy Chase.
Chevy was described as angry as he was talking up socialism at the big rally here on Saturday.
Oh, please.
This is Chevy Chase. On behalf of Don Geronimo, who couldn't make it today, I'd just like to say that...
Oh, listen, I don't know what's more pathetic about this tape, the fact that Chevy Chase cut a drop for me, or that you can hear me in the background laughing like a hyena because I'm so happy.
He was very hot back then.
Yes.
There's a man he's here. So let's join him. I mean, let's enjoy him. Let's sit on him. Let's turn him off the air. Don Geronimo.
Oh, I played that every day. An idiot.
Chevy told an interviewer for TV's American Investigators over the weekend that socialism helps to work people out of poverty, sometimes better than capitalism. And he says he thinks Cuba is proof of that. Chase admits that socialism means less freedom and that he wouldn't want to choose between that or capitalism.
Man, it is hypocrisy when you do that. I really, you have to say that. I mean, with Chevy flying in from, you know, his royalties and his mansion and all that crap.
Snow day.
Chevy also referred to himself as an intellectual.
Tell that to anybody who had to sit through the movie Snow Day.
Tell that for anybody that watched his talk show.
Yeah. The Whitney Houston.
So he limped through that.
And this was directed to Charlie Broyhill. Or anybody who watched Fletch.
Charlie Broyhill's favorite movie of all time.
He loves Fletch. Fletch is a piece of garbage. I think he even likes Fletch, too.
He does.
Right?
He likes the Fletch series. It wasn't a trilogy, was it? They didn't make a third
one. No, thank God they haven't yet.
Fletch 2.
They might. The Whitney Houston TV special planned for CBS has been canceled.
Whose special?
Whitney Houston.
Ladies and gentlemen, Whitney Houston and Jim Elliott.
Hi.
Oh, she just had a little trip.
I got a story about Whitney Houston in here today. I don't know about it. Somebody thinks Bobby Brown is using voodoo on Whitney Houston.
Really?
Oh, you know who thinks it? Dr. James Capers from San Diego.
Oh, fantastic.
We'll have to book him on the show.
Great idea.
I've seen her better, but not much better.
She tripped. Had a little trip.
Well, I fought those demons.
Hi, Whitney.
It's Jim Elliott.
Hi, just Jim Elliott, Vice President of Promotion.
For Arista Records. Don't cut out the part about Arista.
Hi.
Is it perhaps another case of Whitney-itis? A CBS tells TV Guide there were scheduling conflicts. The magazine quotes a music insider as saying that Whitney's people backed out after it appeared that a deal had been firmed up.
Okay, when are we going to get the headline? Okay.
Yeah.
Whitney's on drugs!
Any day now. An Ohio man faces criminal charges after a toddler he was supposed to be watching spent about 20 seconds tumbling around in a clothes dryer.
Hi there. Attention, students. Hi, this is Surf.
Thanks to the head injuries, it was touch and go for a while at the hospital, but the little boy will be okay.
Who's the guy?
The guy says, well, he was supposed to be watching the kid. It's just a guy who...
This is Larry Michael, Westwood One, Notre Dame Radio.
A guy like that, for example. The man says after he turned on the dryer, he heard this thumping noise. He told police he didn't know the baby was in there. He says he doesn't know if the 15-month-old crawled in on his own power or got help from his 2-year-old daughter.
Don, you are on the air, sir.
Couldn't have been that guy.
The man faces felony assault and child endangerment charges. He's out on bond until the trial.
So if he faces felony assault, are they assuming he put the baby in the dryer?
You get that impression.
Wow.
You get that impression very clearly.
Put this baby in the dryer. Smells and honey. I got socks and stuff in there. Who put this baby in the dryer?
What happened here? 15 months old. Oh, and then he's trying to blame it on the 2-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, nice guy.
Props to an internet humor outfit for making fun of Oprah Winfrey's new magazine. ModernHumorist.com signed on today with a magazine called Jay, the Jerry Springer magazine. It features articles like, on a budget, how to make him pay for the paternity test.
And gentlemen, what would be the magazine if Jerry Springer's magazine and Oprah's magazine merged?
J-O! J-O magazine.
J-O!
Well, also in J, travel. Where to find women who will fight over men with bad skin and no job. Also, pregnant and feeling dumpy? Try sleeping around. As well as Jerry talks to Camille Cosby how she and Bill survived his tragic CBS sitcom. Some parents are angry about an NRA video being shown to public school kids in New York and elsewhere.
Who put this baby in the dryer? How many times have I told you? The baby goes to the dry cleaners. Why is the baby in the dryer?
What, no softener sheet?
Mom!
Some parents are angry about an NRA video being shown to public school kids in New York and other places. The video is a cartoon of Eddie the Eagle, narrated by former teen heartthrob Jason Priestley.
Wow.
The video warns kids to stay away from guns, but it doesn't tell them why. Doesn't tell them someone could get hurt or killed. The video comes with comic and coloring books for the grade schoolers. The video has been provided to classrooms by New York police despite disapproval from Governor Pataki. Police officials say they're looking into this.
What, it's an NRA video?
It's an NRA cartoon.
Oh, great.
Hi, kids. This is TV's Jason Priestley.
I'm the NRA. Enjoy your coloring books. You get old enough, you go out and blast the hell out of anything you see fit.
I'm out, Buzz. We'll be right back.
This here to solve the riddle of the tale, Don and Mike.
All right, let's see who's on the telephone. Hello, Don and Mike. Turn your radio down, please.
Okay, I turned it down.
Good, thank you.
No problem.
Thank you. Thank you for the call.
Oh, you're welcome.
Bye-bye. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Very good.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, buddy.
I got a job for Big Gum Jim, if you guys are looking to get rid of him.
Yeah, well, we certainly are.
Well, I got a job for him planting tulips for $20 an hour.
Is that a tulip reference to our building?
No, tulips on his dick.
Oh, very nice.
Okay, thank you.
It's very good. It was. I'm so slow. I'm the rape your wits.
Hello. Rape your wits? Rape your wits?
Rape your wits.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Oh my God! Look at that static of noise. Hello there, radio station.
Reincarnation of Gladys.
Right. It's the way they used in Gladys Vincent song.
Is that the Elmo?
Oh, really? Is Elmo singing the Gladys song? Let's go to our Puffy expert, or what are they?
Plushy
expert, Rob Spiewak.
No, no, I'm not into plushies, but I can understand why the guy might have found the site.
Mm-hmm.
no, it's a famous song. Elvis did that song. Jerry Lee Lewis did that song. It's Shake, Rattle, and Roll. It's from like 1954.
Oh, okay.
But it's a rock and roll
but
standard.
Gladys gotcha. Vincent owns it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, she does. Mm-hmm. And he may sing it.
Don and Mike Show.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Radio guy.
Hey, Baldy.
How are you guys doing today?
Doing great, thank you.
I've been listening to you guys for about 6 months. I know you guys said you don't have a CD, but there was a bootleg CD out there of you guys. Is that right? Is there something, or do you guys have a CD out there of your best of Don and Mike Show or anything like that?
No, we've never
said that either.
Oh, okay. Well, I must be mistaken. The reason why I was calling it was to see when General Cook might be making another appearance on Budget Jeopardy. If ever.
Boy, this guy is like our most misinformed listener.
Wow. Who?
You mean Jack Kent Cook?
Yes. I'm sorry. Jack Kent Cook, yes.
When in the history of Jack Kent Cook has he ever been referred to as general? I don't believe he participated in any military service.
I apologize for my misinformation. I did enjoy that Budget Jeopardy, and I thought he was a general, so that was...
I thought he was a general. Yeah. You know, that means the guy that enjoyed that had no idea... Who he was. That's okay.
That's a testament to you, Mike.
That's all right. Mm-hmm. I'll take the general. Yeah. Rommel, you magnificent bastard. I read your book.
I love Don and Mike.
Mike, this is for you. I've got flowers in the spring. I've got you to wear my ring. And when I'm sad.
But she is singing Cher. I'm a fan of the Cher lady.
I know she's singing to me because I made a comment how I didn't like her.
That's
and
right.
And I tell you, you did some good there. I'm just going to tell you that right now. I enjoyed you singing to me.
Oh, my God.
I did. I really did.
You know, you guys are the greatest show in the world.
Okay.
I swear we're all indebted to you.
Yes, you are.
You make us laugh.
Goodbye, Cher lady.
I love you.
No, goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
I was touched.
Bah. She said bah like Larry Lujan.
Bah.
B-A-H.
Bah.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don.
Yes.
Rod, how you doing?
Hey, Rob.
Quick question for you.
Yeah, buddy.
Listen, I love Buzz. I love him a lot. My question is, I get my news in the morning, and I get my news all day, and I miss the fun. I miss the annex that you guys usually do.
Yeah, so you mean you wish that we were, like, sitting there with you when you were reading your paper in the morning and reading line by line?
Yes, I do, because I love you guys. I love you more than life itself.
Well, wow. What is the point of the call?
My point is, I get in the car at 5 o'clock religiously every day after a long day at the office.
Yes.
And I look forward to the fun and the games and the callers and all the fun, and I'm getting the news and commentary.
Well, listen, I have two words for you. F you.
Listen, I love you guys.
That I change things up on the show.
I understand.
All the time.
You keep it fresh. I
yes,
like that.
Yes, and I wanted to move the news around. We do some news in the middle of the show and some news at the end. And if you don't like it, just F you.
No, don't say that, Don.
No, I really mean it. I, F you.
What was his point? There was so much of his bio that I didn't get his point.
His point is that he does not like the news on when he gets in his car.
Another question for you, real quick. Where's that freeze?
Wasn't that the point of the call, that you don't like where the news is now?
Well, you know, I'm just making a little criticism.
No, wait a minute. You're not making a criticism that I understand, because you were just saying you like the news with the antics.
I like a little of the news, a little bit of it. I'm hearing news from 5 to 6.
No, you're not.
No, we never do news every day from 5 to 6. If you really want to be anal about it, I'll tell you that the I have a half hour for news from 5. Oh, shut up and listen to my explanation.
I'm not worthy.
You just can't do it, can you?
I love you guys.
No, but why can't you listen to it? I mean, if you want to bring it up.
Go ahead.
If you want to, you know, produce the show, which is obviously what your real desire is, because you're obviously not satisfied with what you're doing.
I'm all ears.
You just want the show to be on your schedule.
No, absolutely not.
Just shut up, and I'll explain to you exactly what I'm thinking.
I'm all ears.
Many times we used to know you're not.
You're not all ears if you keep saying I'm all ears. Your mouth is still open.
I'm sorry, Don.
Okay, just shut up. That was Mike.
That was Mike?
Yeah. Yes, that was me.
You know you guys sound really different on the phone.
First.
I hate this guy.
First, I change things up
on
the show.
Don't say that, Mike.
I change things up on the show all the time to keep it fresh.
I appreciate
that. If there'd been a problem, you just can't shut up, can you?
You just can't shut up at all, can you?
I've listened to you guys for 5 years. Never spoke to you before.
Okay, then listen. Just let me explain and don't say one word.
Yes, sir.
You just said yes, sir. Now listen to me. This is like Simon Says. Don't say a friggin' word, okay?
Good.
Good.
All right, good.
Now.
What was that?
I coughed. Sorry.
You
can't do
it. Listen, don't say a thing. Do you understand me? Good. Now, let me explain to you how this works. I freshen up the show. I move things around. Lots of time buzzes news, which, incidentally, FU is one of my favorite parts of the show, got pushed to the end of the show. So, you know, I'm giving you an explanation here. You can't shut up. So, you know, I thought, I'll cut the news in half. I'll do half early and half later. And if that doesn't jive with your schedule, well, FU.
No, that's just fine. I love it. My other question...
No, you're not allowed.
Please.
You're not allowed.
Please.
You're not allowed.
No.
You're not allowed.
No.
You're not allowed.
No, that's it. Your time is up.
You're goodbye forever.
Wait a minute.
Bye forever. Bye-bye.
Goodbye. Jesus Christ.
Regardless of what he said, I should make it clear, his real desire was to hear his own voice.
Yeah, mission accomplished.
That's what he wanted.
Hello, Brian.
Hello, how you guys doing?
Hey, buddy.
I love the news being split up.
Listen, I could give a rat's ass if you like it split up or not, okay? But yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
My apologies.
Thank you for patronizing me.
No.
Friggin' idiot.
Really one of the greatest parts of the show. Either way, I'm wondering if you guys remember your best of tape from the zoo with Mr. T on it.
I don't remember it. Oh, you mean that featured a segment with Mr. T?
It featured a segment with Mr. T. It was fantastic. Talking about his cereal being a security product. I mean, put it up in your window.
I
like it sometimes when you wave Rob off like that.
Well, that's because Rob is going to come up to the microphone and offer up, you know, sometimes too much information, Rob. You know, you're going to tell me it was 1986, it was a morning zoo tape that was produced for Children's Hospital, it was released at Tower Records. I already know all that. Sometimes it's just too much information.
It was a cassette. It wasn't a CD.
It wasn't made on CD. Fantastic. Okay.
Nope. Thank you.
I was curious if you remember.
How long ago it was. That's how ancient it was.
It was a giant mistake.
Sure was. It was the first time you ever played a fart, though, of a human being.
Yeah, right. That's how long ago it was.
Mm-hmm.
That we played Mike's fart on this tape, and it was like revolutionary.
Mm-hmm. To the 1812 Overture.
Yeah, we had Mike farting to music.
It's a horrible memory.
On this tape.
Horrible, horrible memory.
You know the worst thing about that tape? I'll tell you the worst thing. That every goddamn cent went to charity. That's what was wrong with that whole concept.
Yeah, but you'll be able to use that as a bargaining chip. You'll be able to use that when you get up there. It's like, I know we did this. Yeah, I know we did this. But, hey, take a look at this. How about that tape? Remember that tape we did for Children's Hospital?
Every fan.
And all of a sudden it'll be, Rove, well then, come in.
Oh, you're talking about with God again.
Yes, with the main guy.
You always bring it around to God.
That's right. Yeah, for example, you know, just let's move forward. I realize.
Right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Right, thank you. Bruno.
Were you watching the Three Stooges tonight?
Mike was just going to mention the fact that we didn't go to church yesterday. My family and I didn't go to church, even though I told him not to say anything about it on the radio.
It's all right.
It's okay.
Okay, so you're not the pro of radio, Don.
We didn't go to Easter Sunday church yesterday.
And that's all I was going to say.
Thank you.
I didn't say it. You did.
I know.
I just want to go on record.
I said
go on record again.
Yes, Bruno.
Are you guys Three Stooge fans?
I'm going to watch that simply because it got a pretty good review
in the
paper.
I like the Three Stooge.
Hey, now,
in the analogy.
Three Stooges, is that what he said?
He said, are you guys Three Stooge fans?
You know, the one rap on it, though, is that they do the behind-the-scenes stuff okay, because nobody knows what that might have looked like, but they can't pull off the bits. And who could pull off the bits? I was actually watching The Stooges over the weekend. I was watching the duck hunting one that is so completely politically incorrect that it's hysterical, where they're just, where Curly, Curly's the Pied Piper, and he herds all the ducks into the pond where their new boss is duck hunting, and they're shooting these ducks. And for most of the movie, the little short of Columbia Pictures, and they're flying these decoys in, and they show these decoys just getting blown out of the sky. And then the funniest move is Mo actually picks up the decoy, and he almost drops it, and he pokes the decoy in the eye. You know, that's Three Stooges. You can't. And apparently they don't do that in the movie. They don't come anywhere
it's
close
the,
to duplicating
the story of the Stooges.
The tears,
you know, with the commish.
Yeah.
Don, you're the Mo of the radio show.
Yeah, Don would be the Mo.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Which one would be the Larry?
Mike is the Curly.
Mike.
I take that as a phenomenal compliment.
Mike is the Curly. And I guess, Buzz, that would make you Larry.
I guess.
Rob, congratulations.
Yes.
You're Shemp.
Right.
Charlie Broyhill. Charlie Broyhill's Curly Joe Dorita. Hello.
Oh, man.
Hey, do you remember when that guy said I was the Mo of the show? Do you remember when you were in high school?
Yeah,
instead of calling a guy a fag, you call him a Mo.
Don't be such a Mo.
God, you're a Mo.
You are such a Mo.
What kind of a Mo are you?
Today, in today's lingo, it would be, you are so much a Mo.
Bob from Oakland, California.
Hey, clarify two things for me. I was commuting home a little while ago, and during the years Barty was growing up, did he ever miss any teddy bears?
No, he did not. Thank you.
Was Mike the only one that had the experience of the WD, the wet dream?
I never said I did. I, as a matter of fact, I said I didn't.
None of it happened to me once only. Let me tell you, I was 13.
Another good
watching
listener.
The facts of life.
Another right, good listener calling the show.
All right, goodbye.
Hung up on that guy, too.
Another guy that really just really wanted to have a dialogue. But let me tell you about me.
Hello, Matt.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, I got a DJ name for you.
Is it a real DJ name or a made-up name?
Made-up name.
There's a pause where we...
Trust me.
We are processing whether or not to go forward.
All right, go ahead.
Lou Stool.
It's good. How can you not laugh at that?
Gotcha.
Oh, I get it. You had to say it fast. You had to say it fast together.
Lou Stool with you.
Okay. All right, y'all.
That is a slam dunk.
All right, give this guy a prize.
Oh, absolutely.
Give him a prize.
You're listening to the Lou Stool Show.
Yeah, but when you said it slowly,
Lou Stool.
Well, I didn't want to give it away.
No. You said it up correctly. All right, I'm going to give you a prize.
Okay, thanks.
Hold on, please. Where are you calling from?
Vermont.
Vermont. Okay, beautiful. Hold on a second. All right, 3 minutes to chill, and my name is Lou Stool. It's Louis Stool get together for a good looking Monday. Hi, everybody. Free chill. My name is Lou Stool.
Ah, that's fantastic.
Wow. He did deserve a prize.
Yeah.
God.
Almost never happened. Lou Stool, you're listening to the Lou Stool Show.
Hi, everybody. Louis Stool. My friends call me Lou Stool. 3 minutes until 6 o'clock right now. I got a love show right here with me, Lou Stool. On KCBQ. Don't forget, you're listening to me, Lou Stool.
It works. There's something about stool.
All right, listen, that'll do it for me, Albania. I gotta go. Loose stool coming next. On the Super Q. Albania saying, see ya. And stand by now for loose stool.
Oh, Maria, Maria.
Oh, man. Oh, that is too good.
Oh, Jesus. I almost just said the F word.
I really did.
Yeah, give that guy a prize.
I love the loose stool get-together, especially when he talks to his wife, Anita.
you know,
and for that, you just plug in Anita for anything like that.
Right. Don and Mike show.
Bonjour. Comment ça va, les dieux de radio?
Oh, this is a guy getting back to Friday show, right, when we had that French thing going?
Très bien.
Bonjour. Buzz, comment ça va?
Je pète notre Hello? Direction.
Je veux mettre mon doigt dans ton cul, monsieur.
Oh, that was the one about put my finger in your ass?
Oui!
Oui, oui.
Way to go. Good memory.
Très bien.
Très bien, très bien. Oui, hold on. Here you go.
Enchanté.
Yes, you can put your finger in my ass.
Oui. Merci. Tu peux mettre ton doigt dans mon cul.
Mm-hmm.
Oui, tu peux mettre ton doigt dans mon cul.
I like them all.
All right, I got one for you. Do you speak French fluently?
Un peu. Je parle un peu. No, I speak it fairly well.
All right, hold on.
All right.
Let me give you one.
Merde?
Hold on, you know what? First I'm going to play it.
That bad?
Turn your radio down, okay?
It's not even on.
Okay, I'm going to play it so everybody on the show can hear it.
All right.
And then you see if you can figure out what she's saying in French, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Or we'll do it like password.
Okay, very good.
The password is?
The password is?
Would you mind wearing a paper sack on your head?
Now, could you hear that?
Are you talking to me? I didn't hear a thing.
All right, okay. Here it is in French. In French.
Cela t'ennuierait-il de porter un sac en papier sur la tête?
All right, translate.
I heard something about a piece of paper on your head. I didn't hear the
That's
beginning.
Good enough. That's good enough. I give him that one.
Give it to you one more time.
Cela t'ennuierait-il de porter un sac en papier sur la tête?
Oh, man, it's been too long.
Yeah, but you got
the
gist
of it.
That was, would you mind wearing a paper sack on your head?
Oh, okay.
So that was pretty good, actually.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, merci.
Okay, hold on. Let me give you another one.
Keep your radio turned down. Do not listen to your radio.
Okay?
I know the rules.
Okay, beautiful. Good man. All right.
Here's the next password.
You have the ass of a 10-year-old boy.
Okay.
Hey, turn the speaker down, Rob.
Okay.
I don't want him to hear anything.
Did you hear that?
No.
All right, here you go.
Tu as le cul d'un garçon de 10 ans.
Oh, merci beaucoup.
All right, what did it say?
You have the buns of a boy that's 10 years old.
That's
it. Yeah. Tu as le cul d'un garçon de 10 ans.
You have the ass of a 10-year-old boy.
I think we're using the honor system. I think this gentleman is playing honorably.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'm going to give him one more.
Okay.
This is one I don't think we heard on the show last Friday.
And the password is...
Hypothetically speaking, if I were to screw you, would you let me?
Okay, that's what we didn't hear last Friday,
okay.
Right? All right, good luck.
À proprement parler, si je voulais te baiser, me laisserais-tu faire?
You got it?
Properly speaking, she wants to kiss me or something?
No, listen one more time.
Okay.
One more time.
À proprement parler, si je voulais te baiser, me laisserais-tu faire?
Properly speaking, I want to kiss you. Let you do it.
No, but you were, you know,
you're close. You were dancing around it there.
Hypothetically speaking, if I were to screw you,
oh, busy. Okay.
Would you let me?
No.
All right, so that's. But you were very, very close. But that was the first one you really didn't get.
Okay, let's try one more. It's one word. One word.
Okay.
And the password is
brick. Okay. Are you ready?
Fire away.
Here we go.
Connard.
Connard. Like a dumbass.
No. Listen again.
Connard.
Connard. My parents used to use that, and I thought that meant dumbass.
No.
Oh. You know, in a roundabout way, if it's slang.
Prick? That's what it is. Prick.
Connard.
It's prick.
Ah.
Prick. Connard.
Okay.
Yeah, you guys got me.
All right, you want to try one more?
Hey, fire, yeah. Love
right.
it.
One more. I'll give you a prize if you get the last one.
All right.
Let me see. Okay.
I would be honored.
All right, here we go. Number 35. All right, this is the last one. Here we go. Okay, everybody.
The password is...
Your body is one big patch of pubic hair.
Okay. Good luck, and here it is for you now on the telephone. Here it is.
Okay. Encore est un gros morceau de poil pubique.
You're a big piece of hairy public.
I'll give you one more listen. One more listen. Here it is.
Ton corps est un grand morceau de poil pubic.
Oh, ton corps. Oh, God. One more time, please.
Oh, man, he blew it.
Sorry.
Oh. You blew it on the last one.
Your body is one big patch of pubic hair.
Yeah.
Whoa.
You should have gotten that one, I think.
Yeah,
that's one you should have gotten.
All right, thank you.
Hey, guys, have a nice one.
Au revoir.
Au revoir, mon frère.
Au revoir.
Mon frère, didn't he call us his lover?
Hello, Miles.
Unleashed!
Welcome back, old friend.
Miles.
Welcome back, old friend. That's the fake name he used, Miles.
Miles.
Aaron. Hello, Aaron. Aaron.
Nope, he didn't respond to either.
Aaron.
Aaron, what are you doing?
Hey.
Hey, you're on the air.
Aaron. How's it going?
Aaron.
Earlier you were talking about dreams.
Yes.
And actually they last for seconds. And in your dream it seems like it lasts for hours.
So it's reversed of what we were saying?
I thought it was the other way around.
And you have hundreds of dreams a night.
You know, now that you think about it, this guy might be right. I might have had it backwards.
That's why I was confused when you said that. I had no idea myself because I don't remember my dreams. So your dreams just last for seconds, but they seem like that would be more.
That's probably it. Now that I think about it, that's probably
it.
Whether
we could go back and make the show change.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Hey, listen, I said it. I had a room full of guys here nodding going,
sure.
Sounds good.
Hey, why break with a formula?
Right.
Well, but speaking of dreams, earlier you guys were talking about...
But like everything I say, it was kind of based in truth. I just had it backwards.
And that's why it made sense. And nobody called in at the time until this guy called.
Right.
And then hung up on us.
He just hung up.
All right, well...
With dreams may come.
F you. Hello, Don and Mike.
Don and Mike, I love you guys.
Thank you, love you.
Really quick, they did a recent study at the Colon Cancer Institute, and they were saying that a low-fat, high-fiber diet is very good. The doctor's name was Dr. Shatskin.
Dr.
Shatskin.
I don't get it.
It's not. Shat?
It's not nearly as funny as loose stool.
Well, one more thing. These truckers on these highways talk about peeing in your yard. They pee in these water bottles.
All right, good.
And they throw them on the side of the road.
All right, goodbye. Let's take one last call.
I like drinking them.
Don, I'm on the show.
Buzz, would you like to touch my plushies?
No, thank you, Jorge.
Oh, Jorge. Hello, Jorge.
Jorge has some plushie information for Buzz. Good.
I'm up on my bed with all my plushies.
I bet you are, Jorge.
Mr. Bunny plushie.
You all right?
Chocolate bear.
I'll bet.
Oh, no.
Come on, Buzz. Touch my plush.
No, thank you. They've been
so
touched.
Soft and warm.
They've already been touched by you, Jorge.
All right, goodbye, Jorge.
Touched by a plushie.
That's your number one fan, Buzz.
That's Jorge.
That guy loves you.
Yeah.
Toe-tapping, touch toes there. Let's clear these lines and get a caller 100.
All right.
A prize package selected especially for you and a shot at getting your rent or mortgage paid on Friday's free money show.
Loose stool.
Good luck. Phone number 1-877-365-3636. All right, caller 100 time. And here, go hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy.
Buddy, what's your name?
Sure.
Where are you calling from?
Leesburg.
Caller 100.
All right.
All right, big wiener. You've won a suit of your choice, valued at up to $349 from today's man.
Sweet. I got a wedding to go to.
Excellent. There you go. You know, of course, a $349 suit of today's man sells for $700 in the finest department stores. Today's man, they don't mark it up just to mark it down. All right, enjoy your new set of britches, and we've also qualified you for rent or mortgage.
That sounds good.
Big free money show coming this Friday. How much do you pay every month in rent or mortgage?
$1,300.
See, that's a nice big one. We can work with that figure.
$1,300.
All right.
Nice big one. Thank you. Make sure you listen to the whole show Friday, okay?
Thank you, Dynamite. You are my God.
Thank you, my friend. That's when the big free money show is this coming Friday.
Did you hear what Joe Arger was telling me out in the hallway just a minute ago?
Yes, about Scott the Dwarf.
He's got a TV commercial. Now, I don't know whether this is true or not. It's for one of the dot-coms, but when you walked in, he finished the story that apparently Scott the Dwarf goes to an amusement park, tries to get on a roller coaster, but they won't let him on because he's too short, and then he goes on a website and types in angrydwarves.com and rustles up all the little people, and they go back to the amusement park, and they shove people out of the way, and they get on. I don't know how big a commercial, if this is a national commercial.
As I'd like to believe that,
yes.
I say take the Ardinger factor.
I'm thinking that maybe it's just another dwarf?
You know, listen, they all look the same.
Man,
listen. No offense to Scott. You know.
If Scott's listening, you know, he'll be angry and he'll call in and let us know. And if he's not angry at you for saying that, he'll be angry at Joe for getting it wrong. That it was not that it was not Scott on that commercial.
I would think if Scott, the angry argumentative dwarf, had starred in a commercial,
especially if it's a national commercial,
for a .com,
right,
he would have told us about it.
Yeah, and now, you know, then we were discussing, you know, Joe and I were discussing how just incredibly hot Scott the dwarf must be, and Joe told me he's the bomb, and then we giggled and we walked away.
I'd like to know how high Joe was when he was watching TV.
Hey, Joe! We're going to have another appearance on the show of Mr. Joe Ardinger.
Joseph Ardinger, our favorite Joe.
He's wearing one of his dress-up t-shirts today. You know? In this little cut above his normal fare.
All right, where's radio's Joseph Ardinger? Eric, we can't find him?
All right.
Oh, we have to find, we must find Joe. He just arrived.
Well, he's probably out in his car.
Hey,
Buzz, you know where he is, don't you?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Getting ready for the show. All right, well, when you find Joe, bring him in. In the meantime, we're going to try to call Cuba, okay?
Cuba.
Because I'm just like everybody. Up here he is. Here's Joseph Ardinger.
Joe Ardinger.
Hey,
Joe, I was passing along that fascinating story you were telling me about Scott the dwarf. And,
right.
And Don and I are both a little suspicious.
Are you sure it was Scott and not some other dwarf?
Yeah, I was very sure. In fact, Brian Cosgrove was sitting there with me, and he's the one who ID'd him first.
Is he your credibility source,
sure.
Cosgrove?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Were you guys of sound mind and body at the time you were watching?
I was only on my fourth beer.
All right, Joe. So you swear to that that's Scott the dwarf?
Yeah, I'm surprised he didn't bring it up earlier today.
All right, thank you. Joseph Ardinger.
Hmm. Boy, if it's true, Scott the dwarf just incredibly hot.
He's blowing up.
He is.
Our favorite Joe Ardinger.
There goes Joe.
All right, now listen, about Cuba.
Yes.
This is about Cuba. I know we talked about Alien and the fishermen for about a half hour earlier today.
Right.
But the one thing I've not heard anybody do is try to call somebody in Cuba to ask them if they give a rat's ass about Elian Gonzalez.
Interesting. I'd like to do that. And, you know, I'm sure that there are a number of people in Cuba. We might get lucky that speak English, and we can maybe find out.
Well, we researched. We found a hotel. Hotel. It says, elegance and hospitality are to be found in this hotel in the heart of Savannah, and they speak both Spanish and American.
Is it Savannah or Havana?
What did I say? Savannah, Havana.
All right. Well, this will be interesting. Mm-hmm. I always like them when we get international. We succeeded with France last week.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see how we can do with Cuba. Really find out how they feel if it's playing out. Well, it's probably bigger over there than it is over here.
Well, you know, it's propaganda.
Yeah.
I mean, for them, it's all propaganda.
They're very angry at us.
You know, I heard their TV shows don't start. Like, the TV doesn't turn on until 8:30 on Saturday morning.
Oh, that's got to suck.
And that they interrupt the cartoons. Hello?
Do you hear me?
Yes, hello. This is the Don and Mike show. Do you mind going on the air with us? Am I calling Cuba?
Yes, this is Cuba.
Yes.
What do you need?
What I need is, what do you think about Alien
Gonzalez.
Speaking.
This is Don and Mike. We're doing a radio show from the United States.
What do you think of Alien?
What are your feelings on the subject?
Hello? Can you get me some cigars?
Yeah, there's the real reason we call Cuba. We're going to have to make a lot more calls, though.
Okay, hold on
see,
a second.
See, I do not care. Here's the dream scenario for you, isn't it? I do not care at all about Elian. I will send you 18 boxes of the finest Cuban cigars for $1.
And the call's deductible.
That would be a fringe benefit there. And then you could write it off because it was part of the show.
Part of the show. Right, let's call back. Maybe we'll get a different guy. Maybe he's not allowed to comment.
That might be, you know, it's a repressive society. At least that's what we're told.
Hello?
Hello?
Hola. This is the Don and Mike show. Do you mind going on the air with us?
Pardon?
Yes, we're calling from America, from the Don and Mike radio show.
Yeah?
Yes. How do you feel about Elian Gonzalez?
How I feel?
Yes, how do you and the Cuban people feel about what's going on with...
My personal opinion.
Yeah, see, see.
Yes, if you're allowed to have one. What is it?
He has to come back urgently, you know?
Urgently? Why urgently? Yeah.
Why?
Yes, why?
Because this is his country.
Okay, fair enough. Okay. Can you get me some cigars?
If I... What?
Can you get me some cigars?
might want to specify the brand.
Monty's. Monty number two.
Monte Cristo's.
Trinidad. Cohiba. Punch Punch.
Hoyo de Madre.
Where you can find it.
Romeo and Juliet. Can you get me
what
some?
What do you need to know? Where you can find it?
No, no, I need you to get me some and smuggle them into this country. Could you give me a box of Cohibas and smuggle them in your underpants for me?
No, I can't.
I need a box of Cohiba Robustos. I need them immediately.
How many pesos would that be? Or is peso the currency over there?
Oh, I don't know.
How many?
I don't know, but you can call to the National Hotel. They have a cigar store there.
They're illegal in this country, so you have to smuggle them. How many boxes of cigars would you trade me Elian Gonzalez for? If I gave you the boy, boxes of cigars would you give me?
Hello? You seem to push his hot button with that.
And he's gone.
He is a boy. He is not worth cigars. he's much worth much more than that. The offer disgusted him. I would have held out for that number at the National Hotel. You could have called directly into the cigar store.
Well, I know the number of plenty of cigar stores in Cuba.
Thank you for calling, Mr. Geronimo. We will load up the cigars in a private plane. We will sneak them in through the country. We will fly them directly to your house in Virginia. Gracias. And thank you for your sentiments about the boy. I think you have a better chance. Hello?
Hola.
Oh, dígame.
Hola. Hi, this is the Don and Mike Show. Do you mind going on the air with us?
Antonio, dígame. Dígame.
Great phone quality down there.
Hola.
Oh, hey.
Hey.
I have a lot of work, okay? I can give you an interview right now because I'm working right now, okay?
How about one little interview?
Hello?
No, I can't. Okay?
How about one tiny little
interview? Yeah.
And he's gone.
There you go.
And he's gone.
Huffana.
Named after Sam Huff.
Boy, poor kid. Now I feel bad for the kid going back.
Sure.
Sam Huffana. Hey, all right. He came out on the short end of the stick.
This is Sam Huff.
Hurry.
The dictator of Cuba.
That's right. That's what's going to happen when they finally go Democratic. They're going to change Havana to Huffana.
Vote for Sam Huff.
And Sam Huff will be the leader of Cuba.
Sam Huff would make a good dictator. Is that really in his book?
Yeah, he was a congressman, and his slogan was, Sam Huff will make a good congressman.
That was his slogan. Sam Huff would make a good congressman.
He's telling it like it is. No need to overthink it, Rob.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hi, Don and Mike, you crazy bastards.
Hey, you son of a bitch.
You're the funniest bastards I've ever listened to.
I love being a funny bastard.
You guys really are. Calling from Tehachapi, California. And my son and I were coming back from the L.A. area. We had a job to do over there.
My son and I were at the plushie convention.
How did you know we were plumbers?
No,
we are plumbers.
You're plumbers?
Yeah, we're plumbers.
Is the crack of your butt showing right now?
No, mine's not that way, but my son's is.
Oh, very good.
Yeah. Really?
Oh, hey, we were coming back, and we were listening to your show, and we were just cracking up. It was the one when you had Dumb Bastard in there. That
Dumb
was
bastard.
The funniest show I've ever heard. We get home and we're telling my
Someone
wife.
Someone say we're doing that show right now.
we're telling my wife about, my son and I were telling my wife about these crazy bastards that did the Dumb Bastard show. And she's quite overweight, but she's on a diet of losing weight. So she named herself Fat Bastard. She named me Angry Bastard. Named my son Horny Bastard. We named Grandma that lives with us Old Bastard and the cat Lazy Bastard.
It's the Bastard family.
Bastard family, yeah. Now, when are you going to do that show again?
When are you going to do that
Thank
again?
Thank you, though. When your wife loses the weight.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, she'll start losing right now. 1 pound a day.
1 pound a day, all right. Yeah,
thank you. That was tremendously funny, though.
Well, thanks for calling, you bastard.
You bet. Take care, you bastard.
All right, bye-bye. Hello, David.
Yes, sir.
Hi, you're on the air.
Well, I fear I'm going to disturb you, but that Scott the Dwarf commercial is real.
How do you know what Scott the Dwarf looks like?
Well, he's identified as Scott the Dwarf. They actually put his name at the bottom of it.
Really? That doesn't make a lot of sense.
Scott is just so non-helpful to this show. Mm-hmm. Hate to say that. But, you know, he calls that one time, and then we really want some information from him. He would have mentioned it.
I think it was on MTV or something like that, but it was a .com, and it's real.
Wow. All right, can you describe him?
Little guy.
Short, told you.
Yeah, how's that for helpful?
They all look the same.
Beard? No, Scott doesn't have a beard, does he?
Sometimes he does.
Yeah. And, no, I mean, I wasn't really observing him for purposes of describing
him. What color was his hair?
Dark.
No.
No, not Scott. Scott has
well,
a very
they
light...
Have a, they have an artificial Scott the Dwarf.
Well, Joe, okay, does Joe even know what Scott the Dwarf looks like?
Good question. I don't know.
God, Scott. Are you talking about Joe Ardinger?
Yeah, does Joe, was he here when Scott the Dwarf was here?
I think Joe was here last year.
But the guy's got dark hair. I mean, it's not Scott the Dwarf. Scott is a blonde.
The last time Scott the Dwarf was here was a year ago. Just over a year ago, for St. Patrick's Day.
His current pictures have him blonde with no facial hair.
Yeah, but the last time Scott was here, he also had dyed green hair. That could throw Joe off.
Hello, Don and Mike's show.
Yes. Is this Don or Mike?
Yes, yes it is.
I wanted you to know, I went to West Virginia over the weekend to see my parents.
Yes.
And I wanted, somebody had run over a rabbit in the road, and somebody had put an Easter basket beside it and ran over it too. And it was just laying in the road.
All right, thank you, honey.
Uh-huh.
Thank you. Margot Kidder calling the show.
Hello, Don and Mike's show.
Hey, Don and Mike's show.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, I'm just calling to, Don and Mike had the bacon.com for Kathy Lee. What was that website?
Hey, first of all, you're talking to us.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Ay, ay, ay.
Ay, ay, ay. What was that website for Kathy Lee?
Eatme.com.
There it is, eatme.com, sir.
Oh, that was not it.
Know when you're on the radio.com.
There you go.
Okay.
Payattention.com.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
.com.
Another friend made.
Friend of Scott the Dwarfs.
Another friend made .com. Hello, Don and Mike show.
I'm losing.
Yes.
What did he say? I'm losing.
I'm losing you.
I'm losing me. And he is. Hello, last call. Don and Mike.
Hey there, boys.
Hi, buddy.
Hey, I got to fill you in. Frida's not being honest about that dream.
Her orgasm dream?
I was in that dream. I was like a cheesy director. She came to New York to visit you on your little show there. And the two guys was that bench coach, Don Zimmer for the Yankees, and the manager.
Joe Torre.
Joe Mama!
Oh. Oh, no. He knows how to do it.
He knows how to give a diversion, doesn't he?
He sucks us right in.
He gets us on a subject that he knows
God
we are interested
in.
That is too good.
Oh, that guy's good. Oh, I hate that guy. I truly hate that
manager
guy.
And every time he says, do you know how many times he's done manager of the Yankees? And I go, Joe Torre.
Joe Mama. We will be right back.
Listen, honey. The Don and Mike Show.
Hold off on that news for one break, Buzz.
Okay.
I just found something in my manila folder.
Uh-oh.
That I started about a week ago.
Uh-huh.
I want to finish it up with you guys. A little true or false competition.
Very good.
Okay, how about first guy to get 10 right wins?
Okay, good. Mm-hmm. You going to keep the score, Buzz?
Sure. Or Rob, why don't you keep score?
All right, Rob, keep score. See, I always do that. That's strategy with me and Buzz.
Sure. Why don't each of you guys, Mike and Buzz, keep score when you get one right?
Okay, I'll make a little mark when
first
I get one.
First guy
right
to get 10 right is a winner.
Very good.
Okay, who goes first?
Let's toss the coin. Me.
Okay. Mike.
Yes.
True or false? Lucy Liu plays the accordion.
True.
True that.
Yay.
Buzz.
Yes.
True or false?
Mm-hmm.
Rene Russo went to high school with Ron Howard.
I'll say true.
Also true. We have a tie.
Mike?
Hi. I'm over here, Don.
I know. I'm looking at the list.
I understand. I'm just Don.
I'm
joking when
just,
I said
I'm not
that
trying to make eye contact with you. So you can't read if I'm giving you a true or false.
I never can read you.
David Duchovny was so reserved as a child that his mother told people he was retarded.
False.
True. Buzz.
Yes.
Dan Aykroyd once worked at Disneyland selling maps and guidebooks.
I'll say false.
That is false.
God damn it.
Mike.
Yes. I'm here. I'm right here. Buzz is leading.
Matt Damon collects vintage comic books.
False.
True.
Just like to get one. It's false.
Buzz.
Yes.
Keanu Reeves was born in Beirut, Lebanon.
I say true.
Mike.
I'm being absolutely dusted because Buzz is doing the thing that he should, that I should do. I should say true, 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 true.
I've mixed it up.
No, I had a false answer.
There's been true and false.
Okay, fine then.
You've had some that are false.
Okay, fine. Well, then fine.
Mike.
Yes.
Mike.
I don't know. The answer is I don't know. I want to get it right. I'm going to really think about this one.
Vivica A. Fox lost her virginity to Eddie Murphy.
True.
False. It was Robin Givens.
Yeah, of course. I only have one. I've only gotten one.
Buzz.
Ready.
Val Kilmer once stopped to help a hit-and-run victim and paid her hospital bills.
I'll say true.
False.
It was Tom Cruise.
It was Tom Cruise.
Do I get one for that?
No, you don't.
Okay.
Mike.
Yes?
Charlie Sheen accidentally shot his then-girlfriend Kelly Preston in the arm.
False.
True.
I only have one. We're never going to get there, though.
Buzz.
How many do you have, right, Buzz?
I have three.
You have three?
Mm-hmm.
Buzz,
mm-hmm.
Tommy Lee Jones played the clarinet in his high school band.
I'll say true.
That is false.
Okay, this is my window of opportunity right here.
Mike, Julia Roberts owns a 3,000-acre ranch near San Antonio, Texas.
True.
False.
Oh, man.
Julia Roberts played the clarinet, and Tommy Lee Jones owns the ranch.
Oh, are you doing it? Are you kind of like mixing them up that way?
Well, no, I have some true and some false.
Okay, but that's good. That's a good way to mix it up.
I don't want you to know which page is the page that's true, and I got another page here that's all false.
Excellent, okay.
So who do we go to now? Is it Buzz?
Buzz is leading 3-1.
Buzz. George Clooney tried out for the Cincinnati Reds before turning to acting.
Foolishly, I'll say true.
It is true.
Buzz has 4 now.
Mike.
Buzz has 4, and I have 1.
Mike.
Yes?
Hold on.
Oh, you must be going to the true page now. The false page.
One of them.
Maybe the I don't know page.
Sting has 6 children.
False.
True.
This is really making me mad.
Buzz.
Yes.
Janine Garofalo has 11 tattoos.
I'll say true.
False.
She has 7.
Here's my chance now.
Mike.
Yes?
Christina Applegate has tattoos on both ankles.
True.
Right.
Very good. Good old Christina Applegate never lets me down, honey.
Buzz.
Don't let me down, honey.
Sting never uses deodorant.
True.
True.
That 5 for you?
Yes.
Happily there. Yes?
Damon Wayans was born with a club foot.
True.
Yes, it is.
Wow.
Buzz.
Yes.
Mel Gibson was born in Peekskill, New York.
I'll say true.
Also true. How many you got, Buzz?
6.
Mike, how many you got?
3. 3 little ones.
Mike.
Yes?
Charlize Theron has a flower tattoo on her right foot.
False.
True. I mean, it's true. You got it wrong. You said it was false, and it's true. She has a tiny flower tattoo on her right foot.
Oh, I thought that was Elizabeth Hurley.
Buzz.
Yes.
Rosie O'Donnell is colorblind.
I'll say false.
That's right. Mike.
Yes, Don.
Rosie O'Donnell was voted most popular in her high school.
True.
That is true.
All right, so that's my 4th.
Buzz.
Yes.
Rosie O'Donnell majored in journalism in college.
True.
False. Mike.
Yes.
Steven Spielberg sent Drew Barrymore a quilt with a note reading, cover yourself up, after she posed Playboy in 1995.
True.
Playboy,
that is true.
I'm up to 5. How many do you have, Buzz?
7.
Buzz. Yes. Drew Barrymore is the goddaughter of Steven Spielberg.
True.
Also true. Mike.
I just got to show you something. This is funny. This is funny. When you asked that question, I was thumbing through my copy of Us magazine.
Yeah.
And I just happened to notice that Elizabeth Hurley had a flower tattoo on her foot. And then you asked me that question. And I said, well, there's only one. It's got to be Elizabeth Hurley. Look how the feet are positioned and look how I got screwed up there. When you look at that real quick.
Oh, you're looking at the picture of Charlize Theron.
And doesn't that, when you look at it real quick, doesn't it look like Elizabeth Hurley? And then you realize it's actually Charlize Theron's foot.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I see what you mean. Pay attention, Mike.
I'm sorry.
Whose turn is it?
Mine.
Mike. Meg Ryan was co-valedictorian of her high school class.
False.
That's right. Buzz.
Yes.
Rene Russo, as a 10-year-old, developed a curvature of the spine and had to wear a body cast for 4 years.
True. That's eight. He's closing in on it.
It's nine.
Nine? You have nine?
I have nine.
Mike, Cindy Crawford was a San Francisco 49ers cheerleader.
False.
Buzz.
Yes.
Oliver Stone is a Jew.
True.
He's a Buddhist.
Mike.
Yes.
Mel Gibson is an Episcopalian.
False.
Right.
Catholic. Eight for me.
How many you got, Buzz?
I have nine. It's very close.
Buzz.
Yes.
Buzz.
Mm-hmm.
Buzz.
Yes, Don.
I'm just filling. I'm looking for a real tough one now.
It's a hell of a horse race we got going here.
Fair.
Even if Buzz wins, I'd like to just say on my behalf, it's been an incredible comeback.
Mm-hmm.
Buzz.
Yes.
Sandra Bullock is an avid salsa dancer.
I'll say true.
It is true.
Oh, man.
Big winner. Buzz Burbank.
Congratulations, Buzz.
Thank you, Mike.
You had Buzz in that. You're a big winner.
Yes, I tried. I tried to make it a game, but I didn't do very well.
It was that Charlize Theron question because I
pour through Us Magazine.
I'll give you one more, Mike.
Okay. All right, very good.
Robert De Niro is predominantly Irish.
False.
True.
Really?
Robert De Niro?
Well, no wonder he's so great.
Robert De Niro is predominantly Irish, not Italian.
I like the answer. I got it wrong, but yeah. I like the answer.
Buzz, here's an extra one for you.
Okay.
Let me see. Dylan McDermott is a member of Mensa.
True.
False.
I knew that.
He looks smart.
He's a dope.
Buzz?
Yeah.
I think he looks dumb.
Really?
I could not agree more.
Yeah, I think he looks kind of like a dummy.
What is your lead story on this part of the news in the comments?
In this section, jury finds Disney F's with dying man.
Oh, love that. Okay, everybody, please stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
For news and comments.
News and comments.
Coming up. On the Don and
Don
Mike Show.
That was very...
professional. Continuing to broadcast under the Line One regime, the Don and Mike Show.
Oh, we're loving it. Fidel Line One.
Fidel Line One.
Doing a great job here. Alan Castro.
Wearing his green khakis.
From North Potomac.
I guess his green fatigues would be more appropriate. Green khakis would be contradictory.
See, if you live in Gaithersburg,
yes.
You can tell people you live in North Potomac.
North Potomac, home of Fidel Line One.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Signs the papers, old man. A federal jury says Disney forced a dying man to sign away millions of dollars of his employee benefits. And the man was an executive in the company. The lawsuit was over how much money his survivors should get.
Blink!
Yes, General Cutter.
Clink, get this man to sign the papers.
Just as soon as I get done riding the monorail, Major Hochstetter.
Clink.
Yes.
Commandant Eisner's on the phone.
Yes. Hello, Mr. Eisner. I'll get him to sign the papers right away. Yes, sir, I'll see you at the Polynesian Village.
Disney claimed the man had given up his benefits to avoid being fired for financial misconduct.
We've never had a benefit at my camp.
He gave up his benefits, Herr Eisner.
The jury didn't buy it.
They didn't buy it.
Shoot them.
Oh, no, we can't shoot anymore. This is Disney.
Shoot the jury, Clink.
We can force and cajole. Screw him out of his benefits. Yes, hi.
Hi. Who is this?
Hi, this is Werner Klemperer.
I'd like your husband to sign away his benefits, if you don't mind.
Thank you.
Dankeschön.
Clint?
Yes, Major Hochstetter?
I now want those benefits now.
Get it done, Major Hochstetter. Don't transfer me to the Russian front. Don't send me up to the Euro Disney.
I'll transfer you to Tomorrowland.
Oh, no, not Tomorrowland, not Space Mountain.
I'll transfer you to It's a Small World.
Don't let me ride that again. I'll get him to sign. Hey, this is Werner Kempfer. Sign the papers or I'll have to ride on the It's a Small World ride when it's broken. Hi.
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 O.J. Simpson's lawsuit, the one we told you about in the earlier part of the news,
yes,
has been thrown out of court this
Yay!
Evening.
Really?
Simpson was suing GTE, trying to force it to turn over phone records he said would clear his name. A federal judge says the suit borders on frivolous. O.J. says the phone records prove he was headed for the airport while Nicole was still alive.
Mm-hmm.
They're still trying to figure out what happened.
Hold on, hold on. We have comment from O.J.'s lawyer.
Oh, good.
Stay cool. Stay cool.
Yeah, he'll figure out another lawsuit to file.
He's got
to
be angry now.
Donald Ephraim.
They're still trying to figure out what happened to the radar at Boston's Logan Airport. The $8 million...
Get to know Charlie.
This is fine. It'll hold up to anything. It'll
Charlie
stand up.
Had the mind of a child.
Uh-huh. It'll stand up to anything, I promise.
The $8 million radar antennas were built to withstand hurricane force winds of 75 miles an hour or more.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday morning, a 45-mile-an-hour wind blew them over. It left thousands of folks stranded at one of our busier airports on Easter weekend.
Ask me what we secured it with.
What'd you secure it with?
Glue!
Get to
Glue, Joe! Joe, that's got the dwarf. He told me.
An investigation's underway to find out why it happened, especially since 143 other airports used the same antenna array.
Oh, scary!
You know where I heard that story?
Where?
A Scott Shannon show.
Shut up! Bill Evans, weather coming up. Where's Bill Evans? He's not here. Ooh, okay. Patty, you give us the weather. Scott and Todd. PLJ.
Hey, Charlie?
Yeah.
Who do you see?
I see dead people. Lots of them, all the time. And they're welcome in my house. Doesn't scare me at all. I see dead people. I saw Dick Tabak this morning. He was under my bed.
Really, how's he doing?
He's doing fine. So come on in. All the other dead people. Desi Arnaz. Lots of people, all under my bed, all dead. Richard Nixon was there. Dead, 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 dead. They're all dead. Mel Torme was singing to us this morning. The Velvet Fog. That's what he calls himself, you know.
Right.
I see dead people.
Buzz, hold on before you look.
Very good.
Good morning, all my friends under my bed who are dead.
And then you and all your dead friends listen to Scott Shannon?
We listen to Shannon, PLJ. Pump up the volume. Forget the format Friday. I'm PLJ. Shannon. Hey, man, how you doing, Shannon? Scott Shannon. Shannon. Scott and Todd.
He likes the
I
show.
See dead people.
We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
You guys had shirts on when you came in here.
But something happened to him, man.
Come on, Mr. Cole. You just put the shirts back on. You see that sign?
No shirt, no shoes, no tie.
Right. Learn it. Know it. Live it.
They're smart. They're funny. They're just not quite as handsome as Mikey Rocket.
Oh.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Oh, my God. Thank God every day. That's my Easter gift.
Yes.
And Michael Rocket's no longer involved in this show.
Hard guy to miss.
Hi, Buzzy.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Interesting sex survey in the New York Post over the weekend. It says most Americans spend less time making love than they spend on their coffee breaks. A survey of 1,000 adults had over a third of them saying that a typical lovemaking session ranges from 15 minutes to a half hour.
Oh, show-offs.
That's the 15 minutes being the minimum, huh?
That 27% said 30 minutes to an hour.
But those people are lying.
Absolutely. Now, for most folks over 50, under 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
In the 18 to 34, yeah, that'd be something to not look forward to when I get there. In the 18 to 34 set.
You kidder.
You're a grand kidder, bud.
I love your youthful exuberance.
In the 18 to 34 set, the answer was 30 minutes to 2 hours, according to the majorities of both men and women in that group.
Those people are double, triple, quadruple lying.
Yeah, even when I was in my 20s, no way.
Two hours?
2 hours?
Up to 2 hours.
Jeez. The survey found that most people these days are just too busy to spend much longer than 15 minutes on sex.
I think 15 minutes is a long time. Hell, that is running a marathon. That's the Boston Marathon of sex. You can last 15 minutes.
15 minutes? A New York lawmaker wants to require professional wrestlers to take drug tests. Republican State Senator Thomas Olivius says wrestlers are role models and that they and their fans need to be protected.
Please. Let them take every goddamn steroid they want.
He says what's good for other sports ought to be good for wrestling.
I tell you, if a wrestler is your role model, there's pretty good chance you're going to end up on drugs anyway.
Yeah, it could happen. His proposal would require a drug test before wrestlers could appear in New York. It also says that three positive tests would get you banned for life. The first and second positives would result in six-figure fines.
Now, I want my wrestlers high. I want them giving me the best possible show.
Yeah.
I want them high. I want them drunk. I want them on steroids. I want them sniffing glue.
So they can take one of those metal chairs on the back and not even flinch.
Not feel it,
sure.
Give them everything.
WWF honcho Vince McMahon is against the plan. He says wrestlers are entertainers like actors and singers. He says next the lawmaker will want to test circus performers.
It's because Vince McMahon, you know, they take his blood out and like gravy would come out.
Who Wants to Be a Millionaire said hello to its first black contestant last night.
Hey, wow, that didn't take him too long.
It also said goodbye.
Wow. Regis, come on, you can do it. Come on.
I can't. I really can't. I just don't know what I'm going to do.
Rob, when will you start protesting?
Already started.
Right. Stephen Maurice Clark is a Harvard-educated surgeon, but he missed the question that could have made him $250,000.
I don't know how to relate to people of color. You've seen the black guests on my show. I just can't handle it. I'm an old man. I just don't do it well. All right, under duress. Go ahead.
And we'd like to welcome our first colored contestant.
Regis, that's...
He's a nice colored boy. We'd like to bring him out now.
Regis, that's black or African-American. Please, Regis.
He's colored?
Regis, no. Take...
Here he is. We understand he's colored.
No, Regis, you can't use that word. No, Regis, please, get him off the set.
He's got his big afro.
I'm an old man.
The doctor walked away with $32,000. It was back in February when Regis put out an appeal for minority and female contestants.
Hello, colored people.
The contestants have been overwhelmingly white and male.
You want me to make an appeal? All right, if you think that's the right thing to do. All right.
Attention, coloreds.
I'm Regis.
Come on the show.
Come on, how is that? All right, well, then fine.
Thank you. Some parents have been worried that perhaps Pokemon is the work of the devil. Pope John Paul says not to worry.
Well, my daughter was thrilled when she took a Pokemon stamp out of her Easter egg the other day.
Very good.
So, I mean, you got two things conflicting if that's the work of the devil.
Now, the pontiff says the game is actually good for kids. He says, just as the Pokemon movie is opening in Italy, Pokemon is okay. The Vatican says the trading card and computer games associated with Pokemon are full of imagination without any harmful moral side effects. The Pope seems to be reaching out to young people lately. Next month, you know, he posts that rock concert with Lou Reed and the Eurythmics.
He's happening. As a matter of fact, we've got him here right now. Your Holiness, welcome once again to our show.
Excuse me, I'm late.
What were you doing? You seem to be coming in here late.
I was on the... Is it Flushies? Flushies. I was on Flushies' website.
Really? I had no idea that you have that interest, Your Holiness. Do you like Flushies?
Oh, damn. I just had some great sex with Donald Duck.
Oh, my God. Was it a plushie, a Donald Duck plushie?
Yeah, plushie.com.
It wasn't a real duck, Your Holiness. Just checking on that.
No, it was a plushie.
I didn't know you were a big fan of Pokemon. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, I got a plushie Pokemon.
You do?
I poke my mon.
into the Pokemon.
Really?
Plushie.com.
You're the Pope. Maybe you saw me on TV yesterday.
I said you're the Pope, Your Holiness. You're the Pope. What
just
are you doing?
Just a man.
Just a man?
Flesh and bone.
Oh, I see.
Flesh and bone.
I understand that. Now, I didn't know you were into the soft stuffed animals.
Plushie.com.
Huh.
I go there all the time.
Oh, man, do you
me
really?
Me so horny.
Yes, I know that.
Look at I got to wear a friggin' dress.
Oh, you're wearing a dress because you're the Pope. Come
my
on, now.
Big Easter hat.
I don't understand why you're getting so upset about what you have to wear for your job.
Me so horny. I wanted to watch the Blazers yesterday.
Oh, who do you like in that series?
The Blazers and the Timberwolves, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
I'll take the goddamn Timberwolves.
Really?
Huh. Kevin Garnett is... the man.
What do you think with the Raptors going out so early, Your Holiness? I thought they were your...
They blow. They blow dead bear.
Really?
Yeah. They suck. Knicks, Lakers. Lakers in five.
Wow, there you go. That's pretty controversial going all the way. That's the final, huh?
Yeah, controversial.
Yeah, very good. Controversial.
That's what I am.
You never shy away from a controversy.
No, I don't. Go to plushie.com.
Yeah, he said it, the Pope, the man.
I'll see you there.
John Paul II, just a man. Flesh and bone.
You know, I saw him on TV yesterday.
He's not doing real well.
It's funny when we goof on him because he is so frail.
He really is. He's very sickly. For even for a guy that age, he's not looking well. And he keeps up the schedule, you know?
Yes, he does.
They say his mind's still sharp, but he's nearly paralyzed from the Parkinson's. But they say he's still as sharp as a dollar.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've heard people say about you.
We'll soon find out.
One more story, except, of course, you don't have Parkinson's.
That's right. And his mind is still sharp.
1,000 students were evacuated from a middle school in Wilmington, North Carolina, last week on the anniversary of Columbine. The bomb scare began with the discovery of a cardboard tube. It ended with a police spokesman saying, "What we have is a B-O-N-G, not a B-O-M-B.
Oh, man.
Call
wow.
Call Detective Arndinger.
Right.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
That's it.
Bong, not bomb.
That's
okay.
It.
Bong.
Thank you, Buzz.
You bet.
Toe-tapping touch tones time for caller 100. A prize package selected especially for you and another shot at having your rent or mortgage paid.
All right.
Friday's the big free money show. Call Toya right now. She's standing by. Count all the way to 100. And our phone number, 1-877-365-3636.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The Don and Mike Show on Hot Talk 1330.
Lap it up. The Don and Mike Show.
All right, Buzzy Boy.
In sports, Hall of Fame pitcher Nolan Ryan's in stable condition after emergency double bypass surgery yesterday in Austin, Texas, where Ryan's hospitalized. His family says the heart is fine, just wasn't getting enough blood. The 53-year-old checked in with chest pains and shortness of breath yesterday morning.
Hi, I'm Nolan Ryan. When I'm out there throwing my fastballs, let me tell you one thing. I like to rear back and...
Ryan's family has a history of heart problems. His Texas Rangers say he'll be out of the hospital in a week.
Oh, Nelly, that was nasty. Pass the steak, Ma.
Ryan's 27 major league seasons are the most played by anyone in baseball history.
Oh, no.
I can't speak. I'm dumb.
John Elway won't be a team owner in Denver anytime soon. One of the Walmart kids has just bought the NBA's Denver Nuggets, the NHL's Colorado Avalanche, and the Pepsi Center, where they both play.
Danny Walmart.
Stan Kroenke also owns 40% of the NFL's St. Louis Rams.
Sit down, Danny.
His winning bid was $450 million for the Denver package. The leagues still have to approve the deal. And finally, at long last, there's a guide for tourists in Amsterdam for finding the best hookers and the best drugs. Written in English, the Red Light Guide tells visitors how to live the decadent life as safely as possible.
That's the one with the picture of Joe Ardinger on the cover, right?
Hookers and drugs are mostly legal in the Netherlands. The book recommends you drink a lot of sweet liquids if you plan to try the space cakes, which are cookies laced with hashish. And it reminds tourists that if it looks like a woman... it might not be. The book is being published by the Amsterdam police.
I'm sorry, Charlie. I screwed up again. Have fun. Have fun in Amsterdam, Joe.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Actually, we're done. Done.
Another moment too soon.
Oh, man, we got to catch the next show.
Goodbye, turkey. My attorney will be in touch.
Sorry, we're out of time.
No!
Yes, that's it. Gotta go.
No!
Then we're getting very close to our next Las Vegas style show, Wednesday, May 3rd. At Carmen Kaboom, that's in Columbia, Maryland.
That's going to be a blast. It's been a good long time since we've done one.
That's right between D.C. and Baltimore, and we hit the stage at 9 p.m. It's our way of saying thank you for listening every day. Thanks for making the show number one Arbitron rated. Big Las Vegas-style show, raunchy, X-rated, all the stuff you love.
You're going to love it.
Including the new Dennis Murphy features. That is Wednesday, May 3rd, at Carmen Kaboom.
King features.
You got it. 21 to get in. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yes, am I caller 100?
No, I wish I could say that you are.
Dennis Murphy will be on stage with his alter ego, Loose Stool.
Cool.
Thank you for trying, though.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Yeah, you gotta be assertive.
You do.
Hello, Don and Mike. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
I am caller 100.
There. She got it. That's the rule. The other lady, she just asked the question.
And that's not appropriate at this time of the show.
La la la. I think I saw Dennis up on stage in the diaper.
Yeah, that's going to be his act. He'll be going in his diaper.
What is your name?
My name's Lisa.
Hi, Lisa. Where are you from?
I'm from Manassas, Virginia.
Lisa, you have won raffling tickets, a pair of tickets to WWF Backlash, MCI Center, April 30th. WWF Backlash in demand. Call your Comcast or Cox Cable System to order Backlash on pay-per-view. But wait, there's more. You qualify for Friday's big free money show where we're going to pay tons of rent and tons of mortgages. Question is, how much do you pay every month in rent or mortgage?
$697.
There you go.
$697. Love to pay that for you. Please make sure you're listening to the entire show Friday, okay?
I sure will.
All right, we do appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Hold on. We will see you tomorrow with a new episode. Thank you and good night, Buzz.
Thank you and good night, Don.
Thank you. Good night, Mike.
Thank you. Good night, Don.
Sid.
Hi, Sid.
Throw your hat in the air, just like Sidney Tyler. More.
Done for a month.
See you tomorrow.
So long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Till we meet again. Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performance